Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
And today is Wednesday, October 28th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a second night of unrest broke out in the city of Philadelphia following the police shooting death of Walter Wallace Jr. Police said 27-year-old Wallace Jr. had a knife and ignored orders to drop the weapon before officers fired shots Monday afternoon. His parents said Tuesday night that the officers knew their son was in a mental health crisis because they had been to the family's house three times on Monday. The Wallace family attorney, Shaka Johnson, said the man's wife, Dominique Wallace, is pregnant and is scheduled to have labor induced on Wednesday. Two of Wallace's nine children briefly spoke at a news conference late Tuesday, along with Walter Wallace's mother and father. When you come to the scene where somebody is in a mental crisis and the only tool you have to deal with it is a gun, where are the proper tools for the job, Johnson said, arguing that Philadelphia police officers are not properly trained to handle mental health crisis. Johnson said Wallace's brother called 911 to request medical assistance and an ambulance. Video captured Wallace Jr.'s altercation with officers before he was killed. Put down the knife, put the knife down, one officer can be heard saying. Police said two officers fired their weapons and struck Wallace Jr. multiple times after he would not drop the knife. Both officers were wearing body cameras and were taken off street duty pending the investigation. Authorities say the officers did not have tasers. About 500 people gathered at a West Philadelphia park Tuesday night and began marching peacefully through the neighborhood, chanting and demanding the names of the officers who opened fire. After overnight looting in West Philadelphia, hundreds of people were back out ransacking businesses by nightfall. Hundreds of people could be seen running in and out of businesses along Aramingo Avenue in the city's Port Richmond section, including a Foot Locker, a Burlington, Target, and a Dollar General. One person could be heard yelling, "We're going Christmas shopping." Some could be seen with their hands full of merchandise jumping into cars before police arrived. One person was seen pushing a washing machine on a dolly.
Dude, they were taking everything.
Someone was walking down the street with a plant.
Yeah.
Like a house plant.
Yeah, they were just grabbing whatever and walking out with it.
I saw the dude with the hand truck. A full washing machine
on it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no immediate word of arrest Tuesday, but as a result of Monday's unrest, police say 76 people were arrested for burglary, including three with guns, 11 were arrested for assaulting police officers, and three were arrested for failure to disperse. There are still several ongoing investigations not included in those numbers, the police chief said. Police are urging residents in seven districts in the northern and western sections of the city to remain indoors. No curfew was issued for the city on Tuesday night. Philadelphia health officials on Tuesday echoed similar sentiments from leaders across the country and recommended residents cancel their planned holiday gatherings. "We're not going to get past this epidemic by Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, or Christmas. Family gatherings right now are simply very dangerous," Health Commissioner Dr. Thomas Farley said. "These are not normal times." Farley said the number of new coronavirus infections is growing so quickly that Philadelphia is losing the ability to adequately trace the contacts of everybody who is testing positive and may have to impose restrictions on activity. Farley said that contact tracers are unable to reach out to every new person testing positive. As a result, city officials may resort to managing some cases through guidance or asking people who tested positive to reach out to some of the people with whom they may have had contact with while contagious. The city is also considering imposing some restrictions, Farley said. He said officials anticipate increases of the infection in Philadelphia, which means we're entering a difficult and dangerous period of the epidemic, he said. On Tuesday, the Pennsylvania Department of Health said that they confirmed more than 2,750 additional positive cases, the largest daily increase to date. Governor Tom Wolf, speaking at a separate news conference Tuesday, said that despite the upsurge in cases, hospitalization rates are still well below April's spike. In sports this morning...
The sport's good. The insurance, correct information.
Did the Yankees win the World Series?
In Game 6 of the World Series, the L.A. Dodgers...
Lou Gehrig retired today.
I considered making the whole thing up this morning, but stuck to the facts.
The L.A. Dodgers beat the Tampa Bay Rays last night in Arlington to win their first championship since 1988.
Yay.
The Dodgers beat the Rays 3-1 behind a strong effort from their bullpen, with six relievers combining for a 7 1/3 scoreless innings after starter Tony Gonsolin gave up a solo home run in the first. L.A. won the series 4-2. Corey Seager became the most valuable player of the World Series after earning the honor for the National League Championship Series, just as Oral Hershiser did when the Dodgers won the World Series title in 1988.
Close.
In football news, what?
Hershiser. Oh. It's all good. Don't worry about it.
In football news.
You're more familiar with his brother, Anal.
Yeah.
In football news, Everson Griffin is headed back to the NFC North. The Dallas Cowboys traded the defensive end to the Detroit Lions in exchange for a conditional 6th-round draft pick for the Cowboys. The trade allows them to send half of the $6 million in salary to the Lions. The deal means the Eagles won't face the veteran pass rusher in this Sunday's game against the Cowboys because of COVID-19 protocols. Griffin's debut with the Lions is expected to be on November 8th against the Minnesota Vikings. And the first-place Philadelphia Union are back in action tonight with a game at home against the Chicago Fire. The Union have 12 wins and 41 points on the season and hold a slight edge over Toronto for first place in the Eastern Conference with only 3 matches remaining in the regular season. Tonight's match is set to begin at 7:30.
Thank God for the Union, right?
And yeah. That's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks, Kath. So, yep, it's a Wednesday morning. Got a couple of things that we do on Wednesdays that we will continue to do today. We'll go live on Fox Good Day at about 7:55 a.m. We'll see if that's going to be weird or normal or however today. But we will get to that later on. We also have a secret text word. And this is cool. We have a chance for you to win a digital download of Beetlejuice. So just text the word secret to 39333. And we're going to send a word back to you. We'll ask you to call in later on with that word. Designate a caller wins that. And then we'll grab a random texter to check out Beetlejuice.
Yes. If you haven't seen it by this point.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie.
I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I'll put on the old thing to watch this weekend.
Exactly.
Maybe what?
The old thing, you know.
It holds up.
It does.
It's still fun. I watch it with Ben.
Tim Burton, man.
It's great. And Michael Keaton is just as funny now as he was then.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. Then we also have a guest on the program. We have Stacy Keach, legendary actor, is going to be joining us today. Steve and I were just talking about his turn in
American History X.
Oh, man. Oh,
the same guy in American History X who's this neo-Nazi is also the funniest thing in Cheech and Chong's first movie.
God. And I do want to ask him how that happened.
How
did he get on board with Cheech and Chong and the first movie? So we will chat with him around 9 o'clock. We also have a Thursday night Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday night home gate kickoff event that's taking place. And we have the Irish Horn who's going to be stopping by. They're in Richboro, PA. And they have some gift cards that you can win. So we have a chance to call in and win that. And also, don't forget, you can go to WMMR.com/Bud Light. And you can enter to win a football home gate prize pack delivered safely by a member of the President Steve Show to you. So they'll bring in some goodies, and we'll do some giveaways with them. These things and more are taking place. So we're going to take a break, come back in a second. Super Question Entertainment News, that stuff is on the way. We are back.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Such a dumbass. I should have used that as a stupid question.
Oh. Use it now and just make it the easiest stupid question we've ever done.
Nope. I will not do it. I'm going to do a legit stupid question. So we're going to give away, by the way, the Doors Morrison Hotel 50th Anniversary Deluxe Edition digital download. So my wife's birthday yesterday, she wanted to have sushi. So we went and grabbed sushi. And so my question revolves around that. So when you order a sushi roll, they will serve you, a side of ginger. How is that ginger prepared? In what way is that prepared? 215-263. What's special about that ginger? 215-263.
WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that.
Is ginger? Ginger is used for figging, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right.
You shove that up your butt.
Yeah. Did you guys do that?
We did not do that.
Happy birthday.
You can't. You wouldn't be able to do it because of the way this is prepared. So,
okay, because people are watching.
215-263 WMMR. Today is Wednesday, October 28th. Birthdays today. We got some biggies. Caitlyn Jenner turns another year older.
Oh, my God. Don't even say how old I am. I'm so embarrassed.
I'm sorry, but you're 71 years old.
Damn, so God.
The big 70 was last year, obviously, but soldiering forward.
Absolutely. I'm going to go out bear hunting with a crossbow.
When she was Bruce Jenner, she won the gold medal in 1976 for the decathlon. She was the premier athlete in the world at the time, as far as track and field is concerned.
It was just amazing, as all-American as can be.
Yeah, so she is featured on one of the episodes of The Cabin with Burke Kreischer. And there was a few things about...
The machine.
Yeah, there was a few things about her winning that decathlon that I didn't know. I didn't know, like, she was virtually unknown.
One knew me, Cage.
Yeah, it's going into it, but also, like, she was, like, not in the lead the whole time. Like, she really had to come from behind and had to smoke somebody in that run. I don't know if it's a 1600 meter or whatever, but, like, basically had to beat them by, like, a lot.
And I did all that with a penis.
And did it all with a penis.
Which can get in the way.
It can get in the way. Uh-huh. Chafing like crazy.
Yeah, that's right. I would like to actually go back and watch Bruce Jenner's accomplishments of that particular.
It's amazing.
It was, yeah.
And also, Caitlin seems very happy. And
yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. I would love to be able to interview her. Bert Kreischer said she was a blast and fun and gets it and has fun with it.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, because, you know, now we say she, but when you're talking about Bruce in the Olympics... Do you refer to Bruce?
I think you could probably do either or case at that point when you're talking about the former.
I mean, he competed as a man.
Exactly, yeah. So, anyhow.
So knock it off.
Caitlin's 71. Yeah, exactly. Shut up already.
Shut up already.
Joaquin Phoenix also has a birthday today. Joaquin turns 46 years old and has done amazing things in his career.
So Joker was his last big success, won the Oscar for it. But you saw the movie, right?
Yeah.
Intense.
Yeah. He was
great. Great party movie.
It's hard to watch.
Yeah.
But he was excellent in what he does as an actor. He was excellent in that. So he's 46 years old today. It's also Julia Roberts' birthday today. I told you some biggies or something.
Julia Roberts and Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, she's 53.
Do you, what do you stand on Julia Roberts? Kathy, do you hate her?
You're talking to me. Sorry.
No, I love Julia Roberts.
Okay, and Preston? Yeah.
I like her, but, you know, I've always said they overplayed how stunningly gorgeous she is.
Oh, my
God. She is a beautiful woman.
She is.
But she's not, I don't think she's the goddess that they play her out to be a lot of times. And she's a phenomenal actress.
Hopefully one day we'll get the opportunity to tell her that.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
You're not as hot as you think.
She's 53. Andy Richter. Always loved Andy Richter.
He's great.
Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
He is 54.
Andy! You ever see him fight a kangaroo?
No, what is that from?
I think I brought this up maybe 2 or 3 years ago. He had a show. It was actually a pretty funny sitcom.
It was great. It was
It was
a critical success, and no one watched it.
Andy Richter saves the universe.
Rules the universe.
Yeah, and I believe it was on Fox, maybe even on Sundays or whatever after The Simpsons. But there was an episode where he fought a kangaroo, and I found it to be one of the funniest moments of TV.
I'll have to watch for that. He's 54. Longtime crush of mine, Jamie Gertz, has a birthday today.
Love her.
Yeah, she's celebrating her 55th birthday.
Lost Boys was on last night.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
Star.
She was also in Space Camp with Joaquin Phoenix, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix, who has I wonder if they had a little birthday party on the set. Mm.
You know what? She was on a sitcom recently where they lived in a neighborhood with aliens, and they were the one human family.
Oh, okay.
It was actually very funny, and she was very funny.
Also, today, Lauren Holly turns 57 today.
Another looker.
Yep. Dumb and Dumber, obviously, yep. Casey. And that's where her and Jim Carrey met, and I forgot that they were married at one point.
Were they married or just a...
It says former wife of Jim Carrey.
Really?
So I guess maybe they tied the knot at some point.
That's crazy.
She
It's my birthday. I'm going to hang around for a little bit.
All right.
She pops up on the CSI franchise, I think, from time to time. Or NCIS. Maybe it's NCIS.
UPS?
Or UPS. Maybe she wears the brown and delivers packages. She's 57. Dennis Franz, you know from NYPD Blue, Hill Street Blues, movies throughout the years. He is 76 years old.
Die Hard 2. Let's see, he plays the obnoxious
the cop.
But McClane wins him over.
Of course he does. Hey, it's Bill Gates' birthday today.
Hey, I watched him on an episode of My Guest Needs No Introduction or whatever that's called, the David Letterman thing. Mm-hmm. Seems kind of like a...
He's awkward.
A giant nerd.
Yeah, but I mean, he's got some money.
Yeah.
I think he has Asperger's.
Oh, okay.
So I thought that was the deal, but yeah, so he's socially awkward, and that's why he might come off as a nerd.
Well, I'll tell you something, too, and this is a warning to all you kids listening. He did not get a diploma, so, you know, it can impact your future.
That was kind of a riff in Silicon Valley. There was this tech giant genius who would go to and give these seminars on why you should not go to college. And it was hilarious. And there are professors in the audience going, "You're an idiot. What is wrong with you?
Why are you here?"
Annie Potts turned 68 years old today.
Wow.
She's going to be in the reboot for Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And she's on Young Sheldon.
Is she really?
Yeah, she plays her meemaw. She plays his meemaw.
She had a run on Designing Women as well. She was Mary Jo. She's 68. Last birthday. Save the best for last. It's Justin Guarini's birthday today.
Yeah.
Our friend and also known as Lil Sweet.
Oh, the new Lil Sweet commercials are amazing.
I haven't seen the new
ones. They're great. There's a whole bunch of new ones.
Oh, yeah, excellent. Yeah. An old girlfriend of mine who I stay in contact with via social media a few years ago dressed up as Lil Sweet for Halloween.
Oh, that's great.
I thought that was great. Yep, exactly. There you go. Justin is celebrating his 42nd birthday today. Happy birthday, Justin Guarini. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. When you order sushi, you get a side of ginger. How's that ginger prepared? 215-263-WMMR. Going to Megan for the answer. Hey, Megan.
Hi. It's pickled.
It is pickled.
Pickle!
Very good, Megan. Hang on.
Pickled ginger.
And Rochelle eats it by the pound. She will eat all of the pickled ginger on all the plates. She loves it. Yeah, it's like a palate cleanser. You're supposed to have it in between the different flavors because it completely wipes everything away. But she just devours that stuff. So we are going to set Megan up with the Doors Morrison Hotel 50th Anniversary Deluxe Edition digital download with 30 songs, including 19 previously unreleased outtakes. A 2-CD, 1-LP set is also available in stores now, and that's courtesy of Rhino.com. Well, the big news is somebody's getting married.
Yeah.
Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton are taking their relationship to the next level. You were just asking about this.
I was wondering. It seemed like years they'd been together and they hadn't moved. But, you know, he was scarred by his relationship with Miranda Lambert.
The Lovebirds announced their engagement on Tuesday with a sweet photo that Stefani had shared on her Instagram, capturing the special moment that Shelton proposed.
Voice. That's my favorite Shelton song.
She wrote, "Yes, please," with a little ring and little prayer hands. And
yes,
I will. And then she wrote,
"Yes."
And then she wrote, "GX." What does that mean?
GX. Great xylophone.
Okay. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Sure.
Maybe it was just a typo.
Right?
You know,
where did she write it?
She's trying to write Blake.
Right here.
At the end. All right. Ring, then the hands together, and then GX.
She said so GX.
It's not a hug and kiss. It's a, I don't know. Anyhow, multiple sources tell people that the two recently got engaged in Oklahoma. Remember the story I mentioned the other day? They said they had Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And she said they were celebrating a whole bunch of different things. That had to have been part of that as well.
I think so as well. So his home, I guess their home together is in Oklahoma? Where the wind comes running down the plains?
I'm not sure, Steve. They fell in love on the set of The Voice in 2015. They connected over their then recent breakups and respective divorces. Recently, after winning the CMT Music Award for Best Collaborative Video for their duet Nobody But You this month, the track, which Shelton said was a project that brought them closer together, the country singer shared that he and his girlfriend were ready to... for the next leap in their relationship. I didn't even know they did a duet. He said, "We've been together for 5 years now, believe it or not.
Five.
We've worked together and we've written together. So at this point in our relationship, we're always looking for what's the next thing that we haven't accomplished yet." So he'd said that last month.
I like him. She's amazing.
I think they got it. They got the potential to go the distance.
For me, every time you say Blake Shelton, I think of the one skit he did on SNL, which was a song called The Wishing Boat.
Oh, yeah. Yes!
It was one of the funniest. It's a parody of country western songs.
I need to see that.
And he, it's hilarious. It's about a magical cowboy boot.
Yeah.
And it's the funniest goddamn thing.
So just getting back to GX, it can mean good times.
Okay.
GX, and GXG, I just found out, means girl on girl. So maybe she
forgot.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Well, she left out a G. Damn it.
He proposed DVDA.
Because Urban Dictionary says it's Generation Next.
Generation Next, Generation X is a possibility.
DVDA. Steve, they're bringing in three other guys to celebrate.
Gwen brought some buddies over. This is Sanchez, and this is Nikki.
Wow. So they for the pop star's October 3rd birthday, by the way, Shelton had posted on Instagram that he could spend the rest of his life with her.
Aww.
He said, it's a special day for a special lady in my life. Happy birthday, Gwen. I'd write a song for you every single day if I could.
And she posted, I'm not sure about this.
And in September, just kind of backtracking on how this was all leading up to this, she made a virtual appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live and corrected guest host Dua Lipa about the status of her relationship with Blake, because Dua Lipa had said, so I hear that you've been spending quarantine with your husband, Blake Shelton, at the ranch in Oklahoma. And she had, Stefani had commented, well, he's not my husband, but that sounded cool when you said it.
Uh-huh.
So all the markers were there leading up to this. And she then explained that she and Shelton had been isolating in Oklahoma with her sons Kingston, Zuma, and Apardo. Along with more family members.
Zuma, okay, that's a cool name.
Yeah. Like Apollo.
Like the beach and like the Apollo.
I just thought Kingston.
Pleasure to meet you.
I just thought Kingston was a pretty cool name, too. So they did good. She and.
Apollo.
No.
Zuma. What,
no.
Gavin.
Gavin, thank you.
I got you, bro.
Thanks, man.
I kept thinking Gavin Bush.
Yeah.
But that's not his name.
Gavin Bush.
That's the Rossdale. Band.
Yeah. So what if a guy threw an alternative record?
Started watching the new season of The Voice with my family on Saturday.
I'm so sorry.
No,
are you okay?
I'm okay. I like that stuff. I like singing contests. I'm kind of a sucker for it.
Who are the judges?
And the judges this year are super palatable. It's John Legend, Blake, it's Gwen, and it's Kelly Clarkson.
Okay.
And so those guys are pretty palatable. But at one point.
Hey, do they rib each other?
They do.
You should have seen
at one point. One of the judges was going to turn around, but Gwen blocked him.
Oh!
And so he couldn't turn around.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy, man.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it was great. But at one point, nobody turned around for this one singer, and she was really, really good. And Gwen, she was like, when somebody like that doesn't have a judge to around, it makes me wonder how I even had a career.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're right.
It's very touching.
Yeah. I'm like, well, your band kind of helped you out there.
Well, yeah. There are other ways to get ahead. So, all right, let's move along. Following the announcement of her pregnancy, Emily Ratajkowski.
I've never really fully learned how to pronounce her last name. Yeah. I always say Ratajkowski.
I did. Yeah. What? That's right.
Ratajkowski.
Oh, okay.
Has taken to Instagram to share pics of her baby bump for her fans. And in a series of posts, she poses nude while cradling her bump, sharing that she is 20 weeks into the pregnancy and writing that she is getting to know her new body. She also appears on the cover of Vogue, where she rocks a silky dress while holding her bump. And
I'm
writes,
getting to know my new body.
And writes, thank you, Vogue magazine, for this very special cover. So
I love when women that don't really have the bump yet will kind of curve their back
and
a little
push
bit.
It out. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. See? Now, on the whole baby thing, Maggie Grace, the actress, is a mom now. The former Lost actress, and of course you remember from Taken, she was the most spoiled, rotten brat in the world. Has
I want you to know that I'm a grandfather now.
Has given
a special set of burping skills.
She's given birth to her first child, a son, with husband Brent Bushnell.
So this, the majority of this obviously was happening. We talk about the phenomenon of the quarantine babies and the quarantine marriages.
Mm-hmm, yep. The shift to parenthood, she had written, has been the most profound and beautiful experience of my life. 2020 is a wild time to have a baby. We long to offer him a better, more compassionate world, and we want to equip him to make it better. Let's elect our leaders kids can look up to. Please vote. So she added that in it. And, I always liked her. I always liked her in some of the, especially in Lost. She was great.
She was great in Lost. Yeah. And she was
Ian
great.
Summerholder.
In the first Taken, I mean, you know, it's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
The second one starts to become absurd. And then the eventual follow-ups are ridiculous.
Well, Press, if you want to see her completely different from what you know her,
completely
nude.
Damn it. Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
but there might be some footage of her naked out there somewhere. Completely different from her characters on Lost and Taken. She has an arc on Fear the Walking Dead where I didn't even know because her hair's darker, it's shorter, and she plays a badass.
So okay. is she the captain of this arc, or is she...
No, that's a
story arc.
Yeah,
okay.
Story arc. But it's not like... So it's probably two or three seasons into the series that you actually meet her.
Okay.
So
get ready to scream at your screen this Halloween. The incomparable Tim Curry, who played Dr. Frankenfurter and, of course, the cult classic Rocky Horror Picture Show, is hosting a screening on the film just in time for Halloween. Now, he had a stroke back in 2013.
What's his status now? Because he's actually been on to a few events. This is pre-COVID, obviously. But
he's in a wheelchair. I know
right,
that.
Yeah. But how is his
I don't know. This is his first appearance.
Okay.
So we're going to find out. I would imagine, after seeing some pictures of him, probably his speech is affected. So we'll have to see about that. But I think it's great that he's able to do this. The screening has meaning, though. It will benefit the Wisconsin Democratic Party battleground state in the upcoming election. He's also going to be joined by an all-star cast. So Wilmer Valderrama, Lance Bass, Rosario Dawson, and David Arquette will be a part of the whole thing. We're looking at a picture of him, Steve, and it does look like
there's a little bit of a slide.
Part of his face is drooped down. So I was just watching Red October over the weekend, and he plays the ship's doctor.
Yeah.
He's a great actor, so I'm glad he's able to do something. While many spent their 2020 birthdays in their pajamas while on Zoom, Kim Kardashian, of course, as we've talked about, rented out a private island for the week, a birthday celebration, and TMZ reports that Kim, I have some of the details on what went
on
there.
Some of the deets?
Yes, thank you. The deets. Kim flew 40 of her friends and family on private planes.
And Sky!
Where each was handed keys to their own private villa on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Included on the list were Chris, Chloe, Courtney, Kendall, Lala, Anthony, Corey Gamble, NBA's Devin Booker and Tristan Thompson, as well as Scott and Mason Disick. And it seems that Kanye was not present for Kim's actual birthday as he had some work commitments.
All you would have had to have done is reconnoiter the Navy missile testing.
Right.
We got
one shot.
Wrong island.
Right?
Yeah. And Caitlin wouldn't have been there.
Totally.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge anybody for having success.
No.
And I don't care that she went on vacation. I think it's good for her for going on the 40th trip. The way that she posted these things on social media yesterday, I took offense to.
It got a lot of blowback.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got a lot of blowback.
And it should, because it was really tone deaf and people are going through some really difficult times, and she rented out this private island. And the word she used over and over again, which really pissed me off, was humbled. I'm like,
you're not humbled.
If you were humbled, you wouldn't show these photos.
Exactly.
You would be embarrassed to show this lifestyle if that were true.
I don't like getting pissed off at social media posts. I think it's a waste of energy. This one pissed me off.
She did take some COVID precautions, though.
Oh, good.
All guests had to quarantine for 2 weeks before the trip and get multiple tests, which I'm sure they did absolutely.
Not
the letter, right?
Yeah,
I'm sure they gave them tests, but doubt all of the guests were like, no, I'm going to stay in for 2 weeks.
Right. All right, good news for fans of the Bayside High gang from the late 1980s, early 90s. The Saved by the Bell gang is back, most of them, and a new trailer shows the first look. Marissa, did you have a chance to, I want to make sure she saw the trailer.
It's good.
It is good.
I'm actually making a list of all the Easter eggs that I found in it.
Oh, really?
Like Mr. I just forgot his name.
Belding?
Mr. Dewey.
I don't even know who that is.
Exactly. He was this off-the-cuff teacher that maybe appeared in like 10 or 12 episodes, and I paused it and went frame by frame in the trailer because I thought I spotted him, and he's there.
Oh, that's great. Excellent.
It's from the people who did 30 Rock, which is cool, and the trailer is pretty funny. They're even me, not the complete fan that Marissa is, noticed a couple things in it. So it.
What'd you pick up on? Any?
Well, they have. For example, they're doing. It's sort of a hybrid. It's not taking the quasi serious Cobra Kai route, but Zach is now a politician, and his son looks exactly like him. And there's there are a lot of references to the show.
The best line of the trailer I found was at the end is one of the students is talking to Slater, who's now the gym teacher at the school, and says, "I want to be just like you when I grow up, Mr. Slater." He goes, single adult with no kids who likes to party with teenagers. Yeah. And he's like, uh-oh.
What? They're at the restaurant. And what was the name of the place I hung out at?
Beach. Oh, wait,
that's
no,
the right. Peach Pit.
That was not what you know. I wouldn't know. Marissa knows.
It's the Max.
Okay, so yeah, the Max. And so there, yeah. Whenever they would talk in those scenes, whenever they'd say something, you'd always, the audience would always go, woo!
Yes.
And so they're talking, and you hear, woo! And she says, stop eavesdropping. She goes, no, we're the a cappella group.
Yeah, they were practicing.
Woo! Oh, I got to see this.
Also in the trailer is Mario Lopez and Elizabeth Berkley. And by the way, yes, Mark Paul Gosselaar and Tiffany Thiessen are reprising their roles of Zach and Kelly. The trailer looks deeper into the storyline as well, where Zach has become the governor who closes several underfunded high schools, leaving area students to attend Bayside, where his son Mac attends school. Who else is there? Well, Jesse's son, Jamie, who is a student, and AC is the gym teacher. Notable omissions include the other two members of the gang, Lisa Turtle and Screech. The show premieres November 25th. We have a... Is this just the...
A clip of the trailer. Yeah, not the whole trailer.
Yo, Mama. Sorry, Dr. Mama.
How do you think this year's going to go for these new students?
I'm psyched. You look amazing, and your hair's fire.
My dad's also coming.
That's Zach and his son saying the exact same thing at the same time, talking about each other.
I don't care about your dad, Spencer. I just care about Zach and Kelly.
So it looks fun. And the last voice there from, I forget the actor's
John
name.
John Michael Higgins?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's in it.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great in everything.
Yeah.
So you know it's legit if you see him in something.
Oh, this looks great.
So, yeah, it looks like it'd be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, man.
It premieres November 25th on Peacock if you want to check that out. Let's circle back to the Kardashian-Jenner crew for just a moment. I probably should have said this a moment ago, but in a recent makeup tutorial on YouTube, Kylie Jenner commented on staying true to her personality, saying, as I got bigger and bigger, I realized when people used to say really mean things about how I really am, my personality and what I love the most about myself, it would hurt me more than almost playing a character. Essentially, she's sad that she can't reveal her true personality.
Oh, my God.
I know.
That tears me apart.
I should have probably done that.
But that completely it contradicts what Kim Kardashian said during her recent sit down with David Letterman, which is
what?
We're not playing characters. We're being ourselves. So
it turns out they're a bunch of filthy liars.
Yeah, exactly. All right, this is good news. After four rounds of chemotherapy and 2 years of struggle, actor Chadwick Boseman's brother, Kevin, is in remission. He had cancer.
Oh, my God.
And I don't know what type, Steve, or how it said. Well, it says after four rounds and 2 years of a struggle. So imagine you and your brother are both going through that, and then your brother passes away. It's amazing that he, you know, sometimes news like that can send you into a spiral.
Yes.
But he apparently is in remission. So good news for the Boseman family. Also good news for video game fans. Steve, Netflix is in the works to make a live action series based on Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
By Ubisoft.
So
my sons love that game.
The game was really good. Not every version of the game, there's subsequent versions of it came out. I love the first one. It's trippy. It's weird. And then they made a movie, which wasn't all that good.
With Fassbender, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So this will be the first show of several in a new series, including both an animated and anime series as well.
The one problem with this game, Preston, was, and I loved it, and the meticulous nature of the history, and it has a science fiction edge with history. But it's one of those games where you see the town in the distance. It's going to take you the time it would take to actually get to that town on horseback. It's like, yeah. For Christ's sake,
can we
speed this up?
After nearly a month of silence on Twitter, Chrissy Teigen has opened up about the loss of her husband, her and her husband, John Legend's third child, Jack, in a deeply personal essay. The essay posted on October 27, she wrote that she had, quote, no idea that I would be ready to write this. Part of me thought that it would be early on when I was still really feeling the pain of what happened. She goes on to address what happened, saying, I wrote this because I knew for me I needed to say something before I could move on from this and return back to life. Jack will always be loved. This is the first time that she has detailed the devastation of her loss. But she also managed to maintain her signature sense of humor, writing that the ordeal has made her, quote, an adult diaper expert. So she's commenting on it outside of, you know, posting the pictures initially. Jon Stewart is taking back his anchor chair in an untitled hour-long series, which will take an in-depth look at a single subject in each episode. They will hone in on topics that are, quote, currently part of the national conversation. I don't know that that's all the information I have on that. It's going to be on Apple TV. But, you know, I guess maybe he's kind of taking a, you know,
like David a Letterman approach.
Coming back and being able to do a less rigid schedule and being able to more hyper focus on what you want to do.
Sounds like John Oliver's show.
For a show.
You know, John Oliver does a half hour show on HBO, which is also free on YouTube every week. You know, John Oliver has taken that approach. And it sounds and John Oliver got to start with Jon Stewart.
Does he do a single subject in each episode?
Usually, I mean, yeah, they focus on one that lasts about 20-25 minutes, and then they'll have some jokes on either side of it. But
so this will be an hour long one that he's just going to focus on one topic. So not sure when that's going to debut, but we'll see about that later on. Lionsgate has announced a new action comedy titled Shotgun Wedding, which will star Jennifer Lopez and Armie Hammer, directed by Jason Moore.
Man, Armie Hammer, there's been like 50 Armie Hammer stories.
You're right. So the description says they are both incredibly funny actors that can also deliver on the action. But what sets this movie apart is the way their infectious chemistry commands the screen.
It's completely untrue.
You can't take your eyes off them, it says.
I'm sure.
Oh, there you go.
They're incredibly funny. Mm. You know them. You think of you put these two names out there. What are people thinking? Guffaws.
Lopez and Hammer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kazakhstan's tourism board has embraced Borat's famous catchphrase as their official slogan. And I'll explain. In light of the hugely successful release of Sacha Baron Cohen's sequel last week, the country's tourism board has aired a series of new ads featuring the fictional Kazakh reporter's most famous words, very nice. So that's what the tagline is going to be
that's
in their
using.
Ad campaigns. Very Kazakhstan, very nice. The decision comes as a surprise after the country's government had previously banned Cohen's original Borat in 2006 over the mockumentary's depictions of the country. Karyat Sadvazov, the deputy chairman of the Kazakhstan Tourism Board, told the New York Times, in COVID times when tourism spending is on hold, it was good to see the country mentioned in the media, not in the nicest way, but it's good to be out there. He said, we would love to work with Cohen or maybe even have him film here. After learning that Kazakhstan's tourism board had changed their tune about his franchise, Sacha Baron Cohen had said in a statement, Borat is a comedy and the Kazakhstan in the film has nothing to do with the real country. I chose Kazakhstan because it was a place that almost nobody in the U.S. knew anything about, which allowed us to create a wild, comedic, fake world. The real Kazakhstan is a beautiful country with a modern, proud society, the opposite of Borat's version.
Well, in the tourism commercial, you do see other aspects of Kazakhstan. You know, obviously in the movies.
Not that tiny village.
Right, it's a tiny village with a goat, and there's obviously full metropolitan areas, and looks like a whole bunch of really impressive mountain range.
Yeah,
which they apparently bought and had shipped there.
There's some beautiful architecture and all kinds of stuff. But it says, you see a woman looking around and go, wow, very nice. So I think it's cool they've done that. And then one last thing. There is yet another streaming service coming. This one is from service provider T-Mobile, which is launching T-Vision starting next month. There will be three different versions available. T-Vision Live with live news, entertainment, sports channel at three tiers from $40, $50, and $60, depending on how many sports channels are signed up for. T-Vision Vibe, which has about 30 channels from AMC, Discovery, and Viacom, but no sports for $10 a month. And TV Vision Channels, which allows customers to sign up for individual channel streaming services, starting with Stars, Showtime, and Epix.
I am so mad right now!
T-Vision will be available from T-Mobile Wireless customers as of November 1st, for legacy Sprint customers as of November 13th, and for non-subscribers starting next year.
There's like a obviously we talk about the quarter of a billion things you're probably subscribed to and forgot you were subscribed to.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
I haven't watched Disney Plus in a couple months probably.
Well, stay with it now because there's some good shows on.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. It's the original programming of you need to see this show, and then it's like...
Mandalorian starts on Friday.
Yeah, so that's where we are. All right, we got some clips to play for you.
Queen's Gambit, which is on Netflix, and I've watched it, and you should see it. It's a great show.
I watched the first episode last night.
Did you?
On your recommendation, yeah.
And it's, so there you go. Yeah. Another one that you need a subscription.
Are you watching
that with for.
Caroline or your wife?
Nobody, actually. My wife and I didn't watch it.
Oh, no.
Rochelle just watched, like, the last episode with me, but I kind of watched it all on my own. It's a fictional drama series that explores the life of a chess prodigy as she struggles to be the best to play the game. In this clip, Anya Taylor-Joy, who was here in our studio not long ago, discusses the preparation she took to play this role. Here we go.
I'm like figuring every character is different, and there is something magical that happens when a character is meant for you and when you are meant for her, or, you know, however she identifies. There's something magical that happens that I don't understand. But, like, for instance, for all of the chess matches, intellectually, I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to have to really learn these. And then the way that we ended up doing it was 5 minutes prior to play, someone would show me the sequences and then I would do it.
Thank you. That's wild because her English accent is very mild in that clip right there. Mm-hmm. When she was here in the studio, I think it was a little bit more, you know, and so she's an actress. And she's got to flow in and out of those because in this, she's American and there's no hint of it at all. So. It's really good. Queen's Gambit is streaming now on Netflix. Here's the next clip. The Voice has returned for its 19th season.
Casey.
After being delayed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. In this clip, Judge and newly engaged Gwen Stefani discusses adjusting to filming the show without a live audience. Here we go.
We feel real lucky to be actually shooting, and we don't have an audience, but it was weirdly okay. Like, you could really hear the music. It's very intimate. Like, the reality part feels even more real because there's nobody there, so we just are us, like, completely, like, it feels a little more relaxed.
This is special.
The Voice airs Tuesday nights at 8, and that is on NBC.
They did The Price is Right last night. It was a new Price is Right with Drew Carey, primetime, and they had it for medical personnel and first responders and things like that.
Right.
And it was wild because, Preston, instead of obviously having the audience full and people stand up and come running out, they had pre-selected people, and they came running out from behind the stage.
Okay.
But they were distanced and everything, but it was a weird, different way to see The Price is Right.
Yeah, the crowd, the studio audience is a big part of that show.
They pumped
huge part of that
they
show.
They pumped a bit of that in there.
Okay.
And I don't mind it. They do it on Jeopardy, and they do it on Wheel of Fortune. There's some audience, but they goose it a bit.
Yep. All right, that's it. That's my entertainment report. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. We have a secret text word. Chance for you to win today the digital download of Beetlejuice. So text word secret to 39333. We're going to have some giveaways with the Irish Horn, who is stopping in, courtesy of the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday night home game gate kickoff. I'll give you details on that. We'll do some giveaways with them and some guests. We'll tell you more when we get back. So stay with us.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger begins Monday, November 16th at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. You heard correctly. The event is a little earlier than usual. This difficult year has made it even harder for area families staring food insecurity right in its face, which makes the Camp Out business challenge more important than ever. Props to Subaru of America for leading the way, challenging other area companies to get involved. It's effective team building for your staff as they rally together to help fill abundance in their mission to drive hunger from our communities today and end hunger for good. For those who go the extra mile, there are prizes for the top three business challenge donations, including Preston and Steve broadcasting live from your place and for your staff. Go to WMMR.com for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger from 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first.
I saw an article yesterday. It was kind of a little look back into something that I remember fondly when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And it was on CNN's website. It was just a short little thing. It kind of took me down memory lane for a moment. And I was curious if you guys ever remembered, it might be only Steve and I, the Holiday Inn Holodomes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You don't remember those?
You don't remember those?
Nope. Yeah. It was so... The Holiday Inn created these indoor, I was telling my kids last night, it was like Great Wolf Lodge, but without all the awesome slides and water features.
It always reminded me of Logan's Run. You remember the bubble?
Yeah, you live underground. All right, so it was essentially,
It was the hotel had a giant atrium in the middle.
Oh, okay. My God. I do remember this because I stayed at one.
And so there was a pool in there, and it had all kinds of things like miniature golf and pool tables and shuffleboard. And it was this big open area where if you stayed there, all right, kids, go ahead. Go do your thing. You know, and the kids would run around. And it was, I loved it.
It was great. And especially if you had a room facing it and you're up like on the fifth or sixth floor.
And that's what it sounded like in there. It was this cavernous thing. Yeah. And you're right, Steve. If you stayed up, especially on one of those upper floors, you kind of would look out amongst all this stuff.
Yeah, it was just a complete sound funnel up to your room.
So it was the beginning of the 1970s. Holiday Inn was looking to reinvent their hotels and further cater to traveling families and business clientele. And then came the Holiday Inn Holodome, a climate-controlled indoor space that housed everything from tiki bars to shuffleboard.
You'll never have to go outside.
Instead of traveling across the country to a tropical destination, vacationers had to look no further than their own backyard.
So there were a lot of them in Florida, and my grandparents had a condo. This is really amazing because you're triggering the memory right now. But my parents took, I think it was even before my brothers were born, we stayed in one maybe near in the like Clearwater, Tampa area. And my parents just let me go, and like you're running around the miniature golf course.
We're taking Nikki to the Holodome, right? Yeah.
So apparently, one of the first inspirations for the Holodome came out of necessity. Said George Falls, who was a vice president at Holiday Inn from 1960 to 1980. He said swimming pools are useless, particularly in the north, 9 months out of the year or more. So a Holiday Inn in North Dakota built one of the first holodomes to solve that problem, though it wasn't called a holodome until Holiday Inn later adopted the idea at their other hotels.
Do you know what the issue became, Preston? Mm-mm. Is that it became the, I'm not staying at this hotel, but I'm using this dome.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Right.
People just kind of strolling
just
in.
Just sort of strolled in.
Hanging out.
Yeah.
Although the holodomes were popular in colder states, Walton said Holiday Inn's most popular holodomes were in Florida.
There we go.
Believe it or not. Yep.
You're a trendsetter.
He said there was nothing worse than taking your kids on vacation in Florida and it rains the whole week. In the 1970s, holodomes began sprouting up all over the country. This particular project allowed the franchise owners a lot of creativity and freedom, which meant it turned into a competition amongst the other hotels. So they weren't just trying to make it a tropical destination. So they were trying to go for really the elaborate productions.
And, like a resort, sort of.
Yeah. One franchise owner, a guy named DeWitt Hardin in White River Junction, Vermont, he decided to go with the town local features, and it was along a railroad. So they did.
Railroad trains and strip clubs.
Local plants surrounded a meandering pool, which was meant to look like a lake, and children could play on an old train caboose while adults relaxed in the saunas and so on. So that's they would tailor them for the region sometimes.
Yeah, that is a memory, though. But you can see why they failed eventually. And I remember one of the things being that cacophonous sound that you would get the second you walked in.
Well, the main reason they failed is they were too expensive to keep, to do the upkeep on. In the mid-1980s, they found out. So all the humidity coming from the heated pool.
All the furniture warping.
Destroying the ceilings.
People
and stuff
passing
like
out.
So they couldn't keep it going for very long.
Did you ever go to the Luxor when it was when it had its in Las Vegas, the pyramid?
Yeah.
So in the lobby, they had an actual, I mean, and we're talking lobby in just the most basic terms, the lobby was sprawling.
Yeah.
You could take an Egyptian boat ride around the lobby, and you were in this long boat, and you were passing ruins, and it was crazy. But I am a sucker for that gimmick stuff.
I think the Venetian has gondolas.
They do.
Oh,
they
right. Yeah, that's one of their big attractions.
Dude, so Kathy and I both stayed at the Gaylord Resort, which is, and I don't know if it's a Virginia or Maryland. It's down in the D.C. area.
Yeah, it's Maryland.
Is it Maryland? Yeah. Okay, so, dude, this place, we went at Christmas time, and it snows. They have like a light show, and it snows inside every single night, like during this light show.
I've been wanting to go to that.
And then also, just outside of the hotel, they have a giant tent that they set up, and it's just an ice world, where it's just a whole bunch of giant ice sculptures, and there's an ice slide. Yeah, I mean, it's really, really cool.
It was really cool, and it's not anything like... Well, the light show is pretty elaborate, but it's not huge. It's not this big, sprawling. It's a decent size, but... It's just, it's during the holiday season, it's a really nice thing to go to and experience.
Okay. Do you guys like to fantasize about vacations?
Oh, my God.
I would think that right now, is the prime time for people to just sit and think about, you know, if I could go there, this is where I'd go and this is what I'd do.
Right now, Preston, people are fantasizing about going to their favorite restaurant.
I know. I know.
So, but I know what you're saying. For some reason, I get nervous about. I always want, you know, it's like, here's my shot. Here's my vacation. It's got to work. It's got to work. It's got to be good. And I tend to wind myself up. The last vacation I took to Universal, I told you on air, Universal Studios, oh, my God, it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Things like that. Now I'm sort of more into that mindset.
Yeah.
But just, you know, just getting, you know, getting the regular stuff back online and then getting to that. What's looming large in your fantasy bank for vacation?
Well, immediately the first fantasy is, you know, tropical location, you know, beautiful scenery.
Maybe for your 40th birthday, you can get everybody on a plane and take them to a private island.
Wouldn't that be nice? A private island? Yeah, something like that. I don't know, man. We were just talking about that. The trip we took to London to see the Eagles play was that
so
last
nice.
Was
it 2 years ago?
2 years ago, yeah.
And they're still talking about it over there in London.
But... But I haven't done that in a little while. It's kind of like when I buy a lottery ticket, I will think about what I'm going to do with the money. And I always think about some type of vacation that will happen as well. And I start to run through the specifics of that. But wherever I would go, it would involve like scuba diving or something along those lines.
Yeah, there really are, you know, there are three prongs to the vacation. It's the excitement beforehand, the planning, and Steve,
and the depression when you get the bill.
No, man, yeah. it's worth every penny to me. It gives me something that, other parts of my life don't. And so the planning is fun. The actual vacation is great. And then the reminiscing afterwards.
I get that rush from gum, I find.
Yeah. It's, yeah. That's
you're
sad.
Simple, man.
That's really pathetic.
That's right. Where is your ultimate spot? Where would you, does anybody have that in mind? Is there a place in an almost unobtainable place where you would want
Pandora.
To go or be? Pandora. Well,
that's where they had the unobtainium.
That's correct. Yes.
No, I would think Japan is on my massive dream list. You know, Japan is a place I'd really, really love to go. But a place that I just loved and would love to return to again is Alaska.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think New Zealand might be
that.
I don't think I'll ever get there. It's just too far
away. Don't say that.
Maybe retire.
I'll take you.
Maybe retirement. Maybe something when I have, you know, you got to go for 2 weeks. You can't go for just a handful. The flight is a couple of days, essentially.
Well, now's the time to go if they let you in because they don't have any COVID cases.
No, they actually do, and they're not letting anybody in.
Yeah.
But you could sneak in. I'm sure that'd be fun.
Wouldn't it be?
Just go pull up on a jet ski.
But I guess, probably New Zealand. I think that'd be the ultimate.
I've never been to the South Pacific, so a Bali or a place that I go to in, you know, some place where the hut's out on the ocean or whatever. We've talked about
Fiji,
that.
Fiji. Yeah. So the
people next to you can hear you having sex.
I don't care. If I'm in a place like that, that's...
Oh,
you
know, yeah.
I'm going to be as
You're
going to
be
possible.
My regular Monday, Tuesday.
Honestly.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about it a half hour ago. But, you know, when you see videos of places like Kazakhstan, I'm like, all right, cool. I didn't know Kazakhstan existed as a vacation destination. But Kyrgyzstan is supposed to be really incredibly beautiful. It's on the other side of the planet. But I'd love to get to a place like that.
We have family members in Sweden, so we've been there a couple times.
Yeah.
Never in my life would have ever thought about going to Sweden as a vacation destination. Now I want to go back there.
You said it was one of the most dangerous road trips you've ever taken, though, right?
It was hard. There were a couple days where I didn't think we were going to make it.
Why are we doing it this way?
But no, I mean, yeah, I would like to know about those spots that are, nobody knows about this, but you should go here. You've never considered going to Kazakhstan or somewhere like that, but there are parts of it I would imagine that are stunning.
Your
wife wants to go to Machu Picchu, right?
She's been.
Oh, she has been.
She's been. My wife has been everywhere, and I sit home and I look.
You go
at
nowhere.
I look at the cats.
Yeah,
I did Iceland 2 years ago, and Iceland is not unknown. You know, a lot of people can get there, but I didn't realize how easy it is to get there. We flew out of Newark, and it was.
Is it pretty cheap too? Right?
No. It is not cheap.
Oh, it is.
No, Iceland is very expensive, and you pay a lot for meals. You pay a lot for drinks.
Cheap to get there, though, right?
It's not that expensive to get there. But what I really found appealing, Casey, was that it was a quick flight. It was quicker than getting to London, and we flew out of Newark, New Jersey, and we were there in 4.5-5 hours, something like that.
Yeah, that's
quicker than LA.
That's good. That's what the best part about it. Mm-hmm.
I've never really considered about to going anywhere in South America. We have some family members that are from South America, but my wife went to Colombia and thought it was awesome.
Yeah,
but I think more Europe. which I've done. But you were going to go to Africa, Kathy.
Oh, dear God.
You were terrified to go there.
Yeah, you know what?
For a wedding.
And I, you know what? I think it's just my age, and I hate that I'm like this, but if I'm not like really super comfortable with the place.
Yeah, I'm sure that's just a product of your age right now.
I just don't want to go. What do you mean?
You've always wanted to be comfortable, haven't you?
Oh, no. I used to travel. We traveled a lot.
Did you go hiking a lot?
When we were younger, we used to travel a lot. Yeah. And, okay. And it's a lot less now. And it's just because I'm turning into my mother. That's basically the reason. But yeah, I was supposed to go to South Africa, and I was terrified to go.
Right, we're getting a lot of cool suggestions on our text messages. And why not? We can't go anywhere. Let's fantasize.
You want to fantasize. Yeah. All right.
Going somewhere. So
we'll play some exotic music, Casey.
Feel free to give us a call and let us know. And if you've been there, because somebody had texted in and said Vietnam was one of my favorite countries that I've ever visited. You know, okay, so
welcome to Vietnam.
This is a great choice. This is Fantasy Island.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Bang.
So my wife bought a Nordic Track bike, stationary bike.
Yeah, you can't get anywhere with that, Preston.
No, but it's along the lines of the Peloton
thing. Oh, yeah.
So you can go on rides, on road adventures all over the world. And I have done Vietnam, and I've done Norway.
How was it?
It was great. I did.
Did you take any pictures?
I did one in Istanbul. It was really, really cool. You know, it was Constantinople at one time, but not anymore. Now it's just Istanbul. But I never in my life I had thought about, you know, Turkey, other than Thanksgiving. But I had never thought about that as a destination. And after going on one of these little virtual rides, I'm like, this is stunning.
How are the people?
I didn't really get to talk. I was riding a bike.
Oh, damn it.
I was moving very, very quickly.
I would get so sucked up in it, I'd be looking for hotels.
Somebody texted and said, Malta is amazing.
Did you go there? Yeah.
You've been there?
Yeah, I was there as part of my honeymoon. We did a cruise, and that was one of the stops, and basically did the entire island in one day.
That's where Popeye was filmed, right?
And that's Malta. That's like one of the main attractions. They
the
take
set
you,
for Popeye yep, was in Malta.
They take you up on a cliff, and it overlooks the water and the set where they filmed
it. If you look over there, it's where Popeye was filmed.
So I really had never, I've never in my life had a 5-year plan, 10-year plan, or anything like that. But this
is the way you are, man.
That's just I just roll.
You're
bro.
A loose cannon.
I just roll. But this past summer, I actually sort of came up with some ideas of some things that I want to attain.
Right.
Before I die, right? A, I want to live long enough to see Halley's Comet again. All right. So there's nothing. I really get no say in that. But I also want to hike the Appalachian Trail, and I don't have to do it all at once.
No,
right?
In 10-foot increments.
I can do it in week-long increments. Yeah. I don't really care. But I decided this summer that when I retire, the first thing I want to do is ride my bike across the country.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you went from driving to now riding the bike across the country.
Oh, I'm going to drive across the country. God damn it. It's going to happen. You guys keep stalling me for my dream.
Now you got me thinking, Case. That's
you
want
to ride
idea.
Your bike?
Well, no. Just a list of things, places I would like to go to in my lifetime. I've never really sat down and jotted that down of, you know what, I should go and see this in person.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to check out Bluebell.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I'm a little more
it's closer than you.
I want to go to Blue Ball.
I've been there.
And? Oh my God, we had the Swedes in.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And they wanted to go to Lancaster
Intercourse,
and they went to Blue Ball and Intercourse and took pictures. We're like, okay.
I wonder how popular that is for. Apparently, it was very popular for them. I think you had a story about how that is, those are two of the most visited towns in Pennsylvania.
There's another. Somebody just emailed me about another sexy sounding town in and around this area. It's
Bird in Hand?
No, I think it's like Sexy Underpants, Pennsylvania or something
sexy
like that.
Sexy Underpants, Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
I'd like to visit that place.
You know what? I'll have to find this.
Crotch Rot?
I'm going to go to some calls. I have Bobby. Hey, yo, Bobby. Good morning.
Yeah, it's Brian.
Brian.
Where's Bob?
Where's Bob?
Yeah. Bob?
All right, Brian. What's up, buddy?
So last summer I went to a place called St. John. It's up in Newfoundland, but when you get a thing. It's called. You get screeched in. You have to kiss a codfish and take a shot of their rum they have. Hmm.
I thought if you're going to do a screech in, you do a Dirty Sanchez.
Right. Wait, Case, you've heard of St. John? And
I have. Yeah, because my
Newfoundland.
When I was getting physical therapy done on my foot, the therapist actually was from Canada, and I believe that's where she went. And she was telling me that, believe it or not, even though you're in Canada, like the water gets really warm up there.
Really?
Gulfstream.
Yeah. Gulfstream.
Yeah. You know was St. John's the place, I think there was a movie a few years ago where a lot of flights were rerouted there at, on 9/11. People couldn't get back into the country. And they does this
ring
a bell?
It does ring a bell.
Is there a Broadway show?
There's a documentary
show?
About it.
I believe.
A Broadway show called Fly Away With Me or something like that? Or
I'm not sure. And I might be mixing up Canadian cities, so don't quote me on it.
Okay. In case you're thinking of The Lion King.
Oh, yeah. That's
I'm going
right.
to go to Nicole. Hi, Nicole. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Sorry good. Oh, no, it's all good. We're just fantasizing because we can't vacation right now. Where do you want to recommend?
Well, I lived in the United Arab Emirates for about 8 years.
Wow.
And when you're over there, you have a tendency to, well, you have the advantage of kind of being closer to everything else. So of all the places I went to, probably the three I would recommend would be Turkey, Egypt, and India.
Okay.
Where in India did you go? Because that's a massive country.
Yeah. It was more in the north, and then we did make it down to Goa. Goa is gorgeous. Indians, it's like a love-hate relationship. You don't want to stay in any place less than a 4-star because it can get really dodgy.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's just a sensory overload, you know, it's everything, there's stuff that is stinky and dirty and just absolutely.
You're really selling us.
Yeah, I know.
Well, no, I know what she's talking about.
No, it's true. Yeah.
There are some places where it's opulence right next to object poverty.
Yeah. There's no middle class. Poverty. That's how my friend has explained it to me. It's either the super rich or the super poor.
Yeah.
Yeah, the caste system is so evident over there, but I mean, everything is so vibrant and bright and beautiful, and the smells are things that we just don't find very often over here. But at the same time, I mean, just the homelessness and the dirt and the...
Yeah.
The,
I mean, you have Calcutta there. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, and that, you know, that's something that they always have to deal with. Anyone I know who has gone to India has said exactly what you're saying, Nicole. The same sort of experience. There's amazing stuff and stuff that just makes you feel terrible.
Yeah.
Overload is just crazy, but Turkey.
Right.
My husband and I fell in love with Turkey. Turkey's, I swear, it's some of the best food in the world. Turkey's,
okay,
Turkey's just gobble crazy. It up. It's a gobble joke, and I brought that back to the turkey because we're familiar with
it. Thank you, Nicole. Now, the like I said, one of the bike rides that I took, the virtual bike rides, was
India?
Through Turkey. No, through Istanbul.
Okay.
It was beautiful.
Yeah,
it was absolutely stunning. Let me go to Bud. Hey, Bud.
Hey, how are you this morning? Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. All right, what do you recommend?
Barcelona. It is the greatest city, I believe, in the world. Mm. It has awesome beaches, history, a big city. Also, it's very bohemian. Like, I went there, and there was a family. They pulled over on the side of the street. Mom got the three kids out. They peed on the side of the street.
That's beautiful, man.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, you got to go there.
Welcome to Barcelona. Now we'll piss together. Yeah?
The food and the drink are very inexpensive and awesome. I mean, Barcelona in Spain is just a wonderful, wonderful city.
Okay.
My wife went to Spain, and she liked it.
I preferred Madrid to Barcelona, but that's just me.
They pee indoors in Madrid.
Okay. I feel the complete opposite of that guy. I liked it. But it was just another big city.
Yeah.
Really?
You know, yeah. I mean, you were in Spain, which was great. I thought the food was mostly terrible. I think I had like one good meal there. When I went to the smaller cities in Spain, and that's just my taste. I like seeing the quaint little towns.
Listen,
and
when we went to Ireland, the best time I had was not in Dublin. It was when we were in these small villages hanging out. That was cool. That was had much more personality.
Anytime you go to a place that is the main city, you're likely going to be dealing with a lot of tourism and a lot of people who are not native to the area, and you're looking for that sort of flavor. You're not going to get it. We did a whole show, talking about other sort of medical issues in countries. They had the hoof and mouth. We talked about this
when you guys were there.
Disease, so there was nobody from Ireland in Ireland, and we were doing a taste of Ireland now, and we're broadcasting live, and there was nobody there. Everyone was from another country.
And listen, don't get me wrong. The go to Spain and go to Barcelona, but like I would never travel there and just go there for the week or whatever and then come back. Travel to the other cities around it.
Right. I had the same experience as Kathy in Barcelona, and that is where I learned that the overnight people that are working at your hotel might be locals. So, well, for this example, we had two surfers that were working the desk overnight. So we made friends with them, and they actually put us on a bus and sent us to these beaches about an hour away. And it was the best experience. We had, literally, they were guys like that. Huh. We were like, where do you guys hang out? They're like, well, they gave us the standard things. We're like, no, where do you really hang out? They're like, go to this corner, wait for this bus, don't get on this bus, get on this bus, take it all the way to the end of the line, and right. It dropped us off on the locals' beaches, and that was pretty cool.
We've had that before, asked locals where's the good spot to go, and we've been steered in the right direction. Yeah. So.
Just to add this conversation, too, I did one of my dream vacations a few years ago when I went to Cuba.
That's correct.
Cuba.
That was amazing.
You know what? Marissa, and also your trip to Greece looked really cool.
Yeah, I was lucky that my friend is Greek and her cousin lives there, so they took us around to all the best places, and we spoke the language. We had somebody with us that spoke the language.
Like, hey, yeah, we're a bunch of Malaccas.
Yeah. Hey, we're Greece.
Oddly enough, and Nick, I was watching The Queen's Gambit, and eventually the main character goes to Russia. And call me crazy, but I've always wanted to go there.
No, okay.
Moscow looks beautiful.
You've picked a location. And oddly enough, I know this is crazy, I'd like to take that tour to Pripyat and around Chernobyl.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be pretty wild, wouldn't
wear
it?
Wear the hazmat suit.
How difficult is it to be able to go to Russia?
Not that difficult.
It isn't?
No, it's probably easier to get to Russia, I mean, non-pandemic times, than it is to get to Cuba, to be honest.
Okay.
So this is all fantasy. Nothing's open, but when it does open, it's nice to dream while we're in the middle of this crap.
Why not?
But yeah, Russia and remnants of the Soviet Union, you know, the architecture and stuff like that. I have a book, a coffee table book. It's large pictures. It's called, because I don't like to read. No, it's pictures, Ghosts of the Soviet Union. And it's just, they did some amazing stuff. And it's bizarrely otherworldly, you know, stuff in just disrepair and things in the middle of fields. And it's, to me, that would be an amazing trip. Sometimes the more austere locations I find interesting.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
All right, so we're fantasizing about traveling because
you can't.
It's hard to do it right now. I'm going to go to John. John, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How is everybody?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Good. Hey, I want to give a shout-out. You mentioned briefly South America. I mean, you don't think about it, but it has so much to offer. We took a trip to Ecuador, and we were lucky because we had friends who were working for the embassy down there. So we had a great place to stay, and it's got so much to offer. It's got beaches. It's got nightlife. And it's got
South Americans. Yeah.
You're in the Amazon. I mean, you go to Quito and you think to yourself, how did this city end up in the middle of the most inaccessible mountain range you can imagine?
Huh.
And they take U.S. dollars and it's a 5-hour flight from New York. And
that's
you're
it?
Right there.
Five hours?
That's not bad.
No, if you look at the map.
You sure you weren't in Central America?
No. If you look at the map, it's the directly, but it's a straight shot straight down.
Cause wow. Okay. And, when did you go?
We went 2 years ago.
Okay. And so we hear occasionally there's some areas down there where there's a lot of unrest and crime-wise. Were there any issues with that?
Zero.
Okay.
We drove all over the country. We stopped in little towns. We were the only white people in the whole town, you know. And I mean, I'm taller. The guy I was tall, and you know, whatever you call them, native
Ecuadorians.
You know, Ecuadorians are, you know, no taller than 5'2".
Well, so our old janitor Jose is Ecuadorian, and mm-hmm. he's like 4 foot. He's like Marissa's size,
and he was the center on their basketball team.
we hiked the rim of this volcano, and I consider myself in decent shape.
Yeah,
I mean you're so winded because you're so high up, and this native woman, 65 years old, with all this luggage or something on her back, passes us on this trail in clogs and no socks.
Wow!
And
I'm
gassed, and she's just walking right past us as if. You know, there's no, she's not a half a mile up in the air.
You should have put your luggage on her back.
John, did you see the female wrestling that's very popular there?
No, I have a little bit more culture than going to.
No. I mean, it's like part of the culture. It's not like WWE. These women are like wearing dresses. I saw this special in Ecuador. It was who was the guy that would do the bizarre foods around the country, the world?
Zimmern.
Yeah. And he went to Ecuador, and he's like, the big thing this female wrestling thing that takes
place. That sounds cool.
If we're fantasizing, actually, thanks, I think also I would love to not climb it, but be within actual sight of Everest, of the
base camp.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get to base camp, and that's like 19,000, which is really, really high.
I would hire an old woman to carry me up.
Where can you see the peak from base camp?
On a good day. I mean, you can't always.
But you can't, unless you get up there, you're not going to see the peak of Everest, right?
Probably not. No, you can't really see it from like Kathmandu or on the Tibetan side. But
where can you see it from the lowest point that requires the least exertion?
I mean, in pictures. If you really want to access it, probably base camp. But like, it's if you go to Mount McKinley, Denali, in Alaska.
Yes.
You only have a window. I think, Steve, didn't you tell me you had a window where you saw it? Or
No.
Maybe Bill said that.
That was actually, when you do Alaska, you can have different paths. So we didn't go that far north to Denali, but that was one of the big regrets. That's why I'd like to get back to
that. Yeah, me too.
Mm. There it is. All right, let me go next to
Susan. Bob Seger was born.
She's been on hold for a long time. Hey, Susan, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Susan?
Japan. I went there when I was 16. It was the most beautiful country. Everybody's very nice. It's just really crowded, like New York.
Yeah.
But when I was 16, I was able to buy a pet monkey in one of the local pet shops. And
you brought it back?
No, they wouldn't let me bring it back on the plane. But
so they ate it.
I tried. I went to Mount Fuji.
Wait a second. I need to go back to the monkey. So were you renting it or did you?
No, I bought a spider monkey, like a little monkey.
So what were you thinking, Susan?
What'd you do with it when you were done? Did you flush it down the toilet?
I gave it to my sister. I'm like, I can't take it with me. You gotta
discard it. Yeah. Yours now.
Was your sister?
What do you want me to do? I gotta go.
So was your sister staying there when you were leaving?
My brother-in-law was in the army and he was stationed over there.
Okay,
I don't want it.
All right, here. Yeah.
Oh my god.
And then it was when I was. It was the. I got back the night before the 96 blizzard.
Oh wow! Okay, good.
All right. You didn't have a monkey with you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
My monkey froze to death.
This thing's stuck in the snow. Susan, we got to run. I'm sorry, but thanks for the suggestion. Yeah, I had a friend who went to speaking of Asia, went to China and he loved it. Went to Shanghai.
Wow.
Very, very inexpensive and had like a private guide the whole time because it was so inexpensive. Japan, on the other hand, I hear is very expensive.
Yes, I would like to go to these countries, pretend I'm a guide, a knowledgeable guide, and give out all sorts of wrong information. Yes.
All right. Well, anyhow, thank you for the recommendations. You know, I was just I saw the story about the old Holodome, and it got me in vacation mode and
start to get a little wistful. And
then just start thinking about, man, I wish I could go on vacation right now. And why not just fantasize about it and make it even worse that you can't go?
Listen, they just told us not to congregate for holidays. Enough of this stuff. Yeah. I think it's time. You need to start open up your mind to the possibility that once this crap is gone, you're going to go to these places and everything will be good and you'll have all the spider monkeys you can eat.
Or maybe you can be like Casey and make a plan for things that you eventually want to get
right.
So you could do that. All right, thanks for the calls. We appreciate it. We got to take a break. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day when we return. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, we're going to do the Bizarre File right now.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's get right into some stories. We were talking about Vegas earlier. This was a weird thing that happened, and a tragic thing. Two people were killed in Las Vegas over the weekend in a collision involving a minivan and bicyclists that police are describing as a senseless act. So around 7 a.m. on Sunday, several cars were driving recklessly along Las Vegas's Hollywood Boulevard. Witnesses said that a passenger in a minivan was hanging halfway out of the car, attempting to strike people on the sidewalk as they were driving by. So the passenger missed two pedestrians, but then struck a middle-aged woman riding in the bicycle lane further down the road. He pushed her to the ground, and at the same time, The passenger fell out of the moving vehicle and struck a light pole.
Wow.
Both people were killed.
Dear God.
During that incident, yeah. They were both declared dead on the scene. Police identified the driver as Rodrigo Cruz, who fled the scene before officers arrived and was later apprehended. Both the driver of the minivan and the deceased passenger are suspects in the case, which is being handled by the department's homicide unit.
So the woman on the bike died.
Yeah.
And then the guy who pushed her died.
The idiot that pushed her hit a light pole. So that's just makes no sense at all. Just ridiculous. A Philippine police officer was killed during a raid on an illegal cockfighting ring after a rooster's blade sliced an artery in his leg.
So you know what they do is they put these blades on their talons?
Yeah. So
like razors?
I'll explain. The freak accident happened yesterday when Lieutenant Christian Bullock picked up a fighting cock as he gathered evidence at an illegal event. Its bladed spur struck the femoral artery in his left thigh, and he bled to death. Cockfighting, or tupada, is a popular blood sport in the Philippines where money is bet on the outcome of a fight between two birds armed with bladed spurs, known as gaffs. The lethal sport has been banned, along with other sporting and cultural events, during the coronavirus pandemic to prevent crowds from gathering. So I guess maybe it's legal at some part, at some times.
Yeah, you know, it was wild. When I was down in Puerto Rico, my wife's uncle, we went to visit him in the town where he was. And on the way over there, we saw two cockfighting establishments.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, and with the banners up and the events coming up, I'm like, oh.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Three people were arrested and two fighting cocks seized, along with two sets of spurs in the raid where Lieutenant Bullock was the police chief. So messed up, man. I didn't know those things were long enough where they could get that deep into tissue and kill you.
So, wow.
Yeah. All right, in New Zealand, a little lighter fare here. Locals are stumped after eight pohutukawa trees lining a street.
What's that again?
In Auckland, Pohutukawa trees.
That's a mouthful.
Were lining an Auckland suburb. They were inexplicably felled in a chainsaw attack overnight on the weekend.
What the hell is going on with people?
Somebody went down this street and cut, and they're big trees, and cut them all down.
A defenseless tree?
Police are appealing for the residents to check their security footage after a man was seen chopping down trees with a chainsaw on Sunday evening.
How many?
Eight of them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it would have taken a while.
Yeah.
So
you would have heard it.
The mature trees growing on council berms and just weeks away from erupting into their seasonal crimson bloom were left strewn across the footpath and road following the wrecking spree.
I don't know how loud, like, battery-operated chainsaws
They're
are.
They're pretty loud. So,
are they?
They're still loud, yeah. Wow. They're louder. Loud enough if you're doing eight trees.
Council staff were called in to clean up the mess with the once lush trees reduced to sawdust and leveled stumps. Chairman Brent Catchpole is appalled, saying ruining so many iconic native Christmas trees that had enhanced the streetscape for the past 15 years was unbelievable. Police said
it was unbelievable.
They said that
they did our trees.
They were called to. Yeah, I did hear about it.
That's right. It stinks.
Stinks.
It's like eight trees.
They were called to report suspicious activity, and a man had been seen chopping down trees on the main street with a chainsaw, but it disappeared before police
You're
arrived.
You're better than that.
Spark Plug the Tortoise.
Yes.
Is back home after he was found and returned to the Harris family after he pushed his way out of his fenced enclosure Thursday morning and took to the road. Ty Harris.
I'm getting out of here.
Said that Spark Plug was returned Saturday, and he's fine. He had a couple of days out of town. Now, this is not just a tortoise. This is a 200-pound African spurred tortoise.
Wow.
That was returned by a man who spotted him Thursday on the roadside. And he had taken the tortoise to his own property on the far side of Marshall County and released him onto his 200 acres. He found him on the road, and he's like, well, I'll just
run around and play with the other tortoise.
Let him go here. After Harris publicized the missing tortoise on social media, he learned that what had happened, and he was worried about finding Spark Plug. With a long shell and spurs like armor on his legs, Harris said that he was not worried about the other animals doing harm to the 60-plus-year-old creature.
60 years old, yeah. They live much longer.
Yeah, but
so how did he know his particular tortoise? Did he get down on his knees and hold his arms out, and then about an hour later, the tortoise made his way to him?
But cold weather had the potential to harm the tortoise. He said they're made for the desert. At his enclosure, Spark Plug has a burrow to get in for the winter, and his family uses heat lamps to keep its temperature at about 80 degrees.
How long will it, Nick, if you could just check, how long would a tortoise like this, how can they live?
I think they can live like 150 years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
After the Harris family learned of the area where a spark plug was last seen, they went and passed out flyers in the area. With the help of a man who released them, he released him. They searched the area following his tracks Friday to no avail. They heard from people who saw a spark plug, including some farmers in the area who had tracked the tortoise movements to their soybean fields. The man who released spark plug went out searching again, and he was able to find the tortoise.
I found him!
And bring him home.
Oh, my God!
On Saturday.
I'm sure he was purring.
The family is grateful to those who spread the word about spark plug and help bring him home.
Which is the tortoise that can live to be like 200 years old?
Those Galapagos ones?
The Galapagos, right? Yeah.
One last story. In Wartburg, Tennessee. How'd you like to live in Wartburg?
Welcome to Wartburg.
A skull found and put on a man's fireplace mantle has been identified as that of a missing Morgan County man.
Oh, man. The sheriff's they have crime office, scene evidence on their mantle.
The sheriff's office retrieved the skull, sporting sunglasses, by the way, after being told about it. The person in possession of the skull said that it was found in March in 2019 by an individual in the Gobbi area. The DNA
test. These are great town names.
Right?
Gobbi.
Wartburg is next to Gobbi. A DNA test by Forensic Center found that it belonged.
Yeah, a quarter mile up from Pudqueef.
It belonged. Gobby's a quarter mile up from
Pudqueef.
Pudqueef. They found.
Yeah, you make a right at Astain.
They found that the skull belonged to Junior Willie McCann. McCann had been missing since September 2012. Sheriff Wayne Potter is requesting that anyone with information related to McGann's death or other persons who remain missing contact the sheriff's office. So there you go.
The back scratcher he was using was the guy's femur.
My Uncle Tony used to have a human skull.
Really?
In his room. And it was and he used to keep sunglasses on it, too.
Oh,
I guess
my
it's
God.
Kind of a common thing.
Yeah, it was a real deal human skull.
Wasn't there a convention through town and you could get things like that, like actual human bones and skulls and things of that nature?
That sounds familiar.
It was all sort of, it was like dark magic and
we had the girl in studio.
Right, and it was awesome. They were really cool.
That's right. I forgot about that.
It's weird. It's a weird fascination. Some people love that stuff.
Yeah, I used to like kind of play with that skull as a kid, and now that I think back about it, I'm like, that's just that's
somebody's
terrible. That was a human being's head.
Where's my husband?
Oh, my God. All right, let us take a break. Don't forget, later on this morning, we are going to have the great actor Stacey Keach on the show around 9 o'clock. So we're going to chat with him and more giveaways from our friends at Irish Horn in Richboro and Bud Light Platinum Seltzer. We'll come back in just a moment, so make sure you stay with us.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thank ass.
Thank ass.
Thank ass.
Whatever, just leave off a couple of letters.
Thanks, Kath. And it went to thank cast. Thank ass.
Thank ass. That's
don't think of Kathy's ass. Don't think of Kathy's ass. Thank ass. Damn it.
Delicious.
Oh, my God.
I do admire your jumpsuit today.
Thanks. Yeah, it's hard not to see my ass in this thing.
I was wondering what I might look like in a jumpsuit.
You would look like one of Blofeld's assistants in a James Bond movie.
Was it like a pilot flight suit for like a fighter pilot kind of jumpsuit?
It's nice. Yeah. It looks nice.
Walk around so you can see it over here if you don't mind.
Strike a pose.
Is he talking about me?
Yeah, he's talking about you. Yeah.
Oh, it's just a jumpsuit. Yeah. See, I love jumpsuits. These to me are like comfortable.
Tie-dye.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool looking. But you walk in and your whole body is tie-dye.
Yeah. So.
Like, what was that?
Oftentimes, one with a small ass might wear something like this, but I thought I'd go for it.
Why do you like those so much? To me, it seems like a lot of work to like go to the bathroom.
Case,
and...
it's so much work to go to the bathroom. I'm essentially naked when I go to the bathroom. Like, I'm in my bra and underwear because you have to take the whole thing off.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I didn't even think about that.
It is a pain in the ass, Case, but they're comfortable for me. Like, they're comfortable, so I love them.
They have always looked so. When I've had Casey bought me the Michael Dukakis because I just had
footy pajamas.
Footy pajamas, and they were super comfortable. It is a bit. You gotta get undressed to go do
same
anything
thing with overalls. If you've ever worn those, you essentially, if you're going to the bathroom, you're taking your clothes off.
Taking your clothes.
That's what it feels like. Anyway.
Those things came back into style for a hot minute, right? Overalls.
They're still out there.
They are.
Yeah. Guys, question: overalls cute or not?
Cute.
Yes.
Oh, totally cute.
Yeah. Cute on the right woman and not so cute on, like, junior samples from Hee Haw, Preston.
Right, right.
I've looked at them a couple of times, and there's one of those things that I'm like, is this something that I think is cute? And guys are like, ugh, that thing again? Well, I'm the wrong person to ask, Marissa, because I had this Pavlovian response to girls wearing overalls. The first girl I ever made out with was wearing overalls when I made out with her.
Oh.
And so for me, it's something like deep within my psyche. So I approve, but don't go on my response.
But he'll try to make out with you.
I enjoyed making out with you, Nikki. I hope you couldn't taste the tobacco.
Yeah. That's exactly what you sound like.
I think you should get overalls, Marissa.
I think you should, too. See, that's something I can't wear. So you should get them.
It's a struggle because most people don't know. Like, Kathy's not that much taller than me. You just seem a lot taller than me. But so finding overalls for a petite height is, like, nearly impossible.
Really?
Because, well, I have, like, a short torso, so they're either, like, a lot of leg or the bib comes, like, all the way up to my neck. There is a
what about
a
Kids R Us?
Fine line. We might have to.
All right. What about guys in overalls? Is that a thing that's in, or is it only for girls?
To me, that's always been. I've never really dug that look.
Okay.
I think actually, if you talk about some of the more sexier looks, the bib overalls without like a shirt underneath,
right?
That's a hot thing. But however, with guys, I always think it tends to make you look.
You're working. Yeah. It looks like you're going to be working on the truck or in the farm.
All the live long day.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Press, I know you're going somewhere here, but I have another question to ask because I was in CBS.
How big is Saturn?
How big is it? I need to see a comparison. I need to know who actually buys clothes from CVS because I was in CVS the other day.
They have clothes?
Kathy, I almost bought a pair of jeggings just for S's and giggles. Because
why? CVS doesn't have clothes.
Dude, my Acme
they
sells
do.
Clothes.
They even have a tailor if you go on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
But they're not hanging on a rack or anything, are they?
They're hanging on a rack.
Really?
Yeah.
Where? At CVS.
Yeah, so they were kind of like right around the corner from the like cleaning supplies and stuff. But
that sounds about right.
Was
this here or down the shore?
No, this is right here.
Oh, okay.
Right here in River City in Broomall. There was the CVS right there, Kath. And not only did they have jeggings, but they had like, God.
Leggings.
Jeggings and leggings and stuff. And like corduroy jeggings. Oh, my God. I should buy a pair of these. But they had like 10 to choose from. Yeah, and my Acme sells clothes as well.
Really?
And I'm not talking about like Eagles jerseys or Shurzies, but like actual like
I have to imagine it's like one small rack. You're not talking about multiple racks of clothing.
Not.
It's one sort of small thing with a couple of pieces of clothing.
Well, like Whole Foods has a small section, but it's like, you know, whatever the
but, like,
you
who
know,
buys
some
that?
Organic material or something like that.
Well, Today's Man sells deli meat.
I'm gonna skip Whole Foods Today's Man.
It was like, and we've talked about this before, Steve, like in the old Woolworths that they would have. You walk back and like there was an aquarium section.
Oh,
Preston,
we
got fish here.
We talked about the spider monkey earlier.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid,
you
we'd go into
monkey?
The, there was a, I don't even think it was a monkey, Kathy. I think it was a chimpanzee.
Oh my God.
This poor thing sitting there like, and I even remember as a kid, I think that's where I first started to feel, you know, like my love of animals. Like, I'm gonna break him out of here.
Right. That was one of the stores I would go to with my mom because there were birds there, and I was never allowed to own birds, so I would just go and
but you hate birds
check
now.
Them out. Yeah. You know what? Maybe that's where it stems from.
By the way, if anybody's ever bought clothes from CVS, feel free
please.
To call us.
Well, I imagine that it was like more than one person came in an emergency, like I ripped my pants. Do you guys have pants? And that request got up to corporate, and they started filling the racks. But I have noticed Acme has closed because I'm going to say this right now on the radio. I think Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve show, should sell Preston and Steve shirts.
Oh.
All right,
I'm on board.
Yes.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
I find, I would think, though, that places like a CVS or an Acme or something might have, like, Nick had pulled up some pictures of leggings in like, a box.
Right.
Like a small box for sale on the shelf.
Or like a leisure
suit.
Like,
but to actually have a rack of clothes
we
should at a
have
grocery
a
store or a pharmacy seems a little bit odd.
Yeah. Pick up some milk, some Hawaiian rolls, and
some corduroy
pants.
Casey, here's a text that just came in. I'm in a CVS right now, and they sell dresses, jeggings, and school spirit wear. So this is a listener right now texting this.
Take a picture. I want to see how they're displayed.
Wow.
I want to see if they're just balled up in a bin or if they're hanging on an actual rack.
Well, so, like, I know at Whole Foods, it's just one little, like, cabinet. It's, like, not even a quarter of the
Are you sure
aisle.
You weren't going through the employees' clothing?
No. Yeah. Listen, like, it's not even.
Look, they even put stuff in the pockets.
It's not even a quarter of the aisle. It's just, like, it's the end of where the soap is.
Yeah.
And it's just maybe, like, three different shirts and two different pairs of pants and, like, a kid's shirt.
You
it's
walk
very
in,
random.
You walk into my one Acme because Acme has two entrances, and so the Acme entrance closer to the freezer
you walk
section.
Into my Acme.
You walk in, and there are, like, dresses, and it's female clothes, dresses and, I don't know, like, paisley tops and stuff like that. Kath, I feel, like,
print section.
I feel like we should do an Acme fashion show.
If you do it, you get it. Yes, we'll get it on television.
All right, let me go to some. Our phone lines are all lit up. I'm going to go to Katie. Hi, Katie. Good morning.
Good morning, it, guys.
Good morning, it to you. Katie, so you bought clothing at CVS.
I sure did.
What'd you buy?
So I bought a dress. Yeah, I know. So I was down in Sea Isle with my family and friends, and we were going to a bar after we were on the beach.
Right.
And we were, you know, down the ocean swimming. And I came back, and someone had taken my top.
Huh.
So all I had was shorts and my bathing suit top. And they didn't let you into no shower happy hour without, like, actual clothing.
Okay. So it wasn't like you walked into CVS and you went, oh, my God, this is so cute. I have to have this.
I've never said that in a CVS. Okay.
Well, that's why I had asked Casey if he was down the shore, because places like that will have different merchandise than the CVS, you know, around here.
Yeah.
It was emergency clothes. Like, no one ever goes choosably shopping at CVS for anything.
Katie, have you worn it other than that one occasion?
I kept it, and I was like, you know, it could be like an emergency dress. And then I think, honestly, within a month, I was like, I am never going to wear this crap ever again.
Okay.
Do you keep emergency clothing in your car, Preston?
Thanks, Katie. I used to, and I have not. Since I injured my shoulder, I would keep extra golf clothing in my the trunk of my car in case all of a sudden it's like, hey, you got time to go play golf, you know, and just go ahead and do it. But I haven't done that in a while, but I used to keep a full set and varieties for the season.
Sure.
Of clothes.
When you're playing golf,
But you know what? It's a good idea to have a change of clothes.
I keep a sundress and four quarts of Cool Whip. Yep.
I keep a sweater because I'm always cold. So no matter where I go, at least, like, if I, you know, start to get cold or whatever, I have it in my car.
You wouldn't just think of hopping in a CVS and picking up a sweater?
I'm going to go to Dave next. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, not a whole lot. I deliver for a local soda company, so I've seen this stuff at, you know, CVS's, Rite Aid's, and Walgreens all the time. I thought the same thing as Casey. What kind of, you know, person would buy clothes from here? So one day I'm delivering, and I'm waiting to get checked in, and I had a rough lunch, so I squeezed a fart out. Wasn't a fart.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So here I am after delivering, buying a pair of underwear and shorts from Rite Aid.
Yes, no, right. Underwear you'll find in a lot of places, I found. I think a lot of people picked up, or a lot of the businesses have picked up on the fact that occasionally people get in a tight situation like you were in, and need that. But the concept of dresses and pants and all that stuff.
He bought a pair of shorts, too.
Did you?
Yeah.
I laughed at the idea, and then I needed it in my most dire moment.
Wow.
Wow.
Saved you.
I wonder what the most elaborate piece of clothing you could purchase at a... Could you, in fact, are there suit jackets? Yeah. Are there...
A tuxedo.
Are there shoes?
I think there's a lot of local fare at places like this. So people are texting in, like, there's one in Lansdale, a CVS, for example, and they can get a Lansdale T-shirt or whatever. And so I think that's, you know...
Okay.
My friend Katie Rose just texted me. She got a Broomall shirt, Casey, at the Broomall CVS.
Oh. What about the clothes at Cracker Barrel? They've got like a decent selection.
Well,
there.
That's an actual store.
Yeah, it is a store.
It's a full tchotchke store.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can get all the Mel Tillis CDs you want.
Preston, they have, I don't know if decent is the correct word, but they have more clothing than you think they'd have there.
Okay. All right. I will have to peruse the aisles.
I think once you cross over to having an on-premises tailor, that's when.
Yeah.
I'll go to Nicole next. Hi, Nicole. Good morning.
Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks. Nicole, what's up?
I know that I've used CVS clothes at least three different times in my life.
Three different times.
Explain.
Yeah. So, like, preface this by I'm from a really small town in upstate New York. And, like, during the summertime, my sisters and I would just, like, wander around the hometown, and there's, like, nothing to do, but it would get really hot, so you'd duck into a business. CVS was just such a business, and we're just, like, wandering around in the air conditioning, and then it's like, well, I have some allowance money in my pocket. Hey, look at this. A tunic, you know, like there's some random thing. So it's out of boredom rather than pure desperation, I guess.
And what were the items that you bought? Did you actually buy a tunic?
One time I did. One time I did. A tank top. That was another thing. And like whatever just has like a pattern that's like, well, I haven't seen that before. And I mean, like largely the patterns that you haven't seen before in CVS are because they're ugly as sin and nobody else is going to use them. But one reason. Another reason was like at one point I was at CVS for some other purpose, like a legitimate CVS purpose. And I was pregnant at the time, much, much later. And I was like, hey, look, leggings. I've been meaning to get leggings because I'm desperate and pregnant. And so I just snagged the leggings, and that was a bad decision. But like, you know, you make those decisions.
Right, right. So I guess it comes in handy if you live in a rural area or if you're pregnant. I think it's what you're looking for.
Or both.
Interesting. Thanks, Nicole.
All right. So we've gotten rural area pregnant. Crapped your pants, and somebody stole your shirt.
Right.
All right? But nobody's ever gone there and going, well, wow, this is cute.
Or with the intent of purchasing clothing, that always seems to be a afterthought.
Let's try Jenny out, because she may have intended to do this. Hi, Jenny. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey. So you bought clothing at CVS.
I have. And so it started out with, you know, going there just to get, you know, regular drugstore stuff. And I turned and I saw this shirt and I was like, when did CVS get clothes? And I'm always looking for clothes. You know, I'm like flea markets, anywhere I find something cute.
Oh, boy.
And yeah. And so I was like, whoa. So I bought this. And Kathy, it was like when the shark bite shirts were really popular, you know, that different cut at the bottom of it. And I was really impressed. So I bought it. And now when I go to CVS, I'm looking for something.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I will have to check that out. It's been I'm in CVS fairly frequently, you know, and Rite Aids, you know, and there's no I've never noticed the clothing.
I'm going to tell you, you're going to be disappointed because I've only ever seen women's clothing.
I know.
Oh, damn it.
Sexy. Yeah.
So now I got all excited.
You know, maybe you might pick up some tights and just relax on the weekend.
Yeah,
do that.
I love some tights or win the shark bite shirt.
All right, bye-bye, Jenny. Thanks
bye-bye,
a lot.
Bye-bye, Jenny.
All right, we'll see you.
Oh, my God. This person bought tops at CVS for his wife for Christmas.
Oh, no. If that doesn't say last-minute gift, I don't know what does.
Why did you just throw your hands up, Preston?
I would do something like that.
It
would. If I was there, you know, getting some makeup or whatever that she may have needed, and I saw it, I get one of those too. Oh, you know?
She likes deodorant.
Nick had pulled up the CVS line of clothing online, and there's an extensive array of blouses, and that actually, you know, there's also like Christmas sweaters.
Well,
and
this
stuff
was Cracker
like that.
Barrel.
Oh, that's Cracker Barrel. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Cracker Barrel has an entire section on their website dedicated to women's clothing.
Outerwear, handbags and wallets, hats and scarves.
It is kind of fun to tinker around there while you're waiting for your table. I'll tell you this. It's one of the great joys when you go into a place that's completely something else.
Yes. And,
you do find a section like, well, Cho's is the perfect example in our building here. It's a tiny stationery, like convenience store. And you'll go in there. We used to joke about it. You'd find like transmission oil, you know, transmission fluid, I should say.
diamond ring.
Yeah, diamond ring and VHS tapes. It's just a crazy amount of stock.
I love that. I love that find at a place that you're not expecting
it. I will go
CVS clothing.
Yeah. Next to Dawn. Dawn, good morning.
Good morning, it.
Hey, good morning, it.
It's never going away.
Dawn, what's up?
So I go to CVS pretty frequently. Some might say maniacally. They give you extra bucks, right? So I go food shopping. I get my extra bucks. My extra bucks buys me a sweater.
From CVS?
From CVS.
A sweater from CVS?
Oh, because...
Extra bucks is like your Kohl's cash, something like that?
Yep, it's like your Kohl's cash. So you get your CVS bucks back, and then I just go right back in line, and I've got a sweater, I've got leggings, I've got earrings.
Let me ask you something, Dawn. Have you ever tried on any clothing in CVS?
Absolutely not. And I will warn you, there is a muffin top situation going on with the leggings.
Oh, really? Okay.
So they're not even good leggings.
They're not, but they're so comfortable and they're free.
How much, on average, we have to assume these articles of clothing are much cheaper, correct?
Not especially. No.
Really?
Alone, we're like, you know, the sweater alone was like...
How much?
Like
60, she's in.
16. No, in fact, I checked the price on the jet, because I almost bought quarter
of
jeggings.
For yourself? Or
As a joke. But, and they were, I think, $15.99.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
does Walgreens have it? Does Rite Aid? Do they carry clothing as well?
We're getting texts coming in from people who've gotten stuff at Rite Aid. You know, in fact, I wouldn't mind opening this up to anywhere that does not sell clothing that you bought clothing from.
Like and Hallmark.
I bought Rochelle a t-shirt for, I was there getting gift cards for her birthday.
Yeah.
And, but they had, you know, Hallmark Channel t-shirts that were really funny. So I got her one of those while I was there and socks.
Well, I mean, it makes a little bit more sense, but I purchased two coats from True Value Hardware Store.
Like Carhartt?
But I mean, what happens is they sell to contractors.
Yeah.
So a lot of that stuff is just meant to, you know.
Do they sell clothes at like Home Depot or Lowe's?
They do.
They do.
They do. They'll sell like emergency worker clothing or slickers, heavy duty stuff.
Yeah. All right, but I mean less practical and more
sundresses and when the shark bite shirts.
I'm gonna go to Matt. Hey Matt, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, buddy?
So it may have been 3 or 4 summers ago. I was going to a barbecue for July 4th. I don't know if it was Freehold or somewhere in that area. And I made a mixed drink, like an energy drink and a water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And the cap wasn't on. And I shook it, and it shook all over my T-shirt, my white T-shirt. So I got close to the house, and there was a Petco or a PetSmart or something like that. And I knew they had clothes because there was a gag gift we did for Christmas. So I walked in there, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll get lucky, and I could turn one of these shirts inside out. And I happened to find a shirt with 2 gerbils on it.
Well, you don't need to turn that inside out.
That's wear your gerbils proudly.
Wow.
So I turned it inside out, and it was like a white T-shirt. It just happened to have 2 gerbils on it.
I would have kept the gerbils outside.
So at a PetSmart. Okay. All right. That you wouldn't expect to find. I've never seen clothing there before.
I agree with Kathy, though. When you're in a place and there's something that the entire inventory is something other, and you find the anomaly, oh, my God, look what they sell here.
Yeah. Why would they sell this?
Why would they sell this?
Mm-hmm. I will go next to Kathy. Hey, Kathy, good morning.
Hi, I think, are you talking to me, Kathy?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning, guys. I bought a onesie at a grocery store as a gift, in fact, and I intentionally, went.
You went intentionally to go purchase this onesie?
I was there the week prior, actually grocery shopping. I saw this onesie. It had a giant owl on it. My sister lives in Florida, loves owls, and it said, there's somebody in King of Prussia who loves you. I was like, that's adorable.
There you go.
No, right, so that's cute.
I've seen baby clothing in supermarkets. In those sections, you'll see the bibs, you'll see the onesies, you'll see some of that stuff. When we were growing up, for 7 or 8 years of our, of my life, all my sneakers came from a bin in the supermarket. It was all like, and they had a little piece of plastic that connected them together. My mother would pull out the, my size, look for the basic size. It was an approximation. We used to get a lot of clothing from supermarkets.
Speaking of that, let me go to Courtney. Hey, Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, what's up, Courtney?
So that's so funny that Steve says that. I'm 38 now, but back when I was about 8 or 9, I was at a Thriftway supermarket with my dad, and they had a bin of really cool sneakers at the end of the aisle. And I asked my dad, can you get me these? I love these. These are so cool. And he looks at the price, and he goes, oh, God, no, I can't afford these, and throws them back in the bin. So he sends me to another aisle to grab something. I go and get it for him. I meet him back at our shopping cart. And as we're in line, I notice shoelaces sticking out from underneath my dad's sweatshirt. We get home, and my dad's unloading the groceries and pulls a pair of sneakers out from underneath his sweatshirt.
He shoplifted them?
He shoplifted my sneakers.
Oh, my God.
From the Thriftway supermarket in the Port Richmond Village. Yes, he did.
What? Dear God, what a criminal.
So my dad, his money went more to his extracurricular activities.
Oh.
So his moral compass didn't necessarily point due north. So,
and he wasn't about to pay supermarket prices for shoes.
Oh, God, no.
Well,
no,
and he had to get his kids. Like,
oh, my God.
No way. So, yeah, which wasn't the first time he took me shoplifting with him, but it was the first time he shoplifted something for me.
And normally, from the grocery store. Wow.
Don't you? But isn't that always a special
not the
moment?
First thing from the grocery store, but definitely.
First time
the first
it was clothing
time
from the grocery store,
for
though.
Me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was his loving act for
Preston,
you.
Preston, do you remember the first things you shoplifted for each of your children?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's happened so many times, I don't remember the first time I did it.
Yeah, I can't remember the first time.
Hang on, let me go to Janice. Hi, Janice. Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, what's up, Janice?
So, you got to tell Preston that the Ace Hardware in Harleysville sells clothes.
Ace Hardware in Harleysville sells clothes.
No, thank Kathy, you. She was talking to Steve. Steve, can you tell
Preston? Yes. Yeah. Okay, Preston, yeah. The Ace Hardware in Harleysville sells clothing. Yeah, it's kind of wild. I guess a lot of hardware stores sell clothing.
Well, Janice is right. At that particular Ace, they have all kinds of home goods and things like that.
Are you talking to me?
As well as clothing. This is true. No, but could you tell Steve? They do have, that's right. I forgot about that. Thank you, Janice. Let me go to Carrie. Wanted to comment on a hardware store too. Hey, Carrie. Good morning.
Hi. I got children's pajamas and my son a pair of boxers at a hardware store up in the Thousand Islands because it was a Canadian company brand that I absolutely love. And I got excited because I didn't have to go shopping anywhere else. I could get them at the hardware store.
You just brought up something. I just remember this from the other day. I was in line. I was getting motor oil from the True Value on Ridge Avenue, and I'm there. And in a big box, Preston, they have holiday super thick like sock slipper things. Mm-hmm. With rubber nubs on the bottom, and I'm like, oh, I want these for myself. Mm-hmm. And they were only now it said for women. And I'm like, what's the delineation?
Doesn't matter.
You feel like a woman sometimes.
There you go. Absolutely. Get in touch with your feminine side.
Why can't I wear these?
Thanks, Carrie. Appreciate it.
Let's go, girl.
Actually, there's a place not far.
Are you ready, girl?
There's a place not far from me. It's in Harleysville, and it's called Tractor Supply.
Yeah.
And
sushi.
They sell all kinds of clothes there.
Do
they? They also have an entire boot and shoe section. I almost got cowboy boots there.
Ooh.
But yeah, they have, I was surprised at what portion of their.
Why were you in Tractor Supply?
It was new and I wanted to see what was in there and I went by and I'm like, they got lots of stuff.
Don't think of Kathy's ass. Hallie, I'm going to the tractor place. Got to get my mind off some stuff.
By the way, this is how it all started, wasn't
I know.
It?
Yeah. your jumpsuit. I had a whole other thing I was going to go to.
Sorry about
that.
Kathy's ass. Don't think about Kathy's ass. So what kind of tractors do you sell here?
I'm actually glad we started talking about this. Some of the texts that came in, this one says, the only clothing the CVS by my house sells is old fat guy Jimmy Buffett Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Yes, I have seen that there.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay. Here's another one that says, from Philly, moved to Texas over a year ago. Clothing in a grocery store is normal here in Texas.
They have some sprawling. I think that one of their chains out there is Tom Thumb Page, which is super huge. Like a, you know, there and yeah, everything you want you can find there, but a lot of it is just weird stuff.
Can we all go to CVS today and everyone buy the your favorite item?
Five favorite piece of clothing?
Yeah, we'll bring it in tomorrow.
I would love to do that.
I'll do it.
This one says, my wife has purchased underwear at ShopRite. Yeah, sucks to be me.
See, and I do think, and I'm trying to find this picture, there is a big difference between buying something...
And renting it.
No, ironically.
Oh, okay.
All right, because I have a picture of me and Chuck when we were in Disney on our way to the airport. We stopped at a gas station.
Right.
And there were... So I ironically bought, like, old lady... T-shirts.
Kitschy stuff. I completely get that.
There's a big difference between buying stuff like that and actually buying, quote-unquote, fashion.
No, I agree. Where you're actually going, oh, my God, I cannot wait to wear this to the wedding.
I'm in
a pinch. Yeah. Let me head to the Rite Aid to get my wedding dress.
Hey, we got to take a break, and I don't have time to go to the call, but Mike said he worked at CVS. They would have leather jackets around Christmas time.
Stop it.
Leather or faux leather?
It says
can
leather.
We find out?
I'll go to him real quick, but we got to take a break. Right. I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Yep.
Yep. So leather or like a pleather?
It was definitely like a fake leather.
Okay, so fake leather. Yeah. But still, leather. You wouldn't expect that at a CVS, right? No, I wouldn't expect that at all. All right, thanks, Mike.
Can you tell Steve that they had them?
All right, so a number of calls on the line that we're not going to be able to get to. Some people found clothing in Family Dollar. I would think a dollar store.
Dollar store is where you're going to get that sort of stuff.
Yeah, as opposed to...
Not in a hardware store.
Or a pharmacy or a grocery store.
Or a tractor supply place.
That, too. Interesting. All right, well, thank you for the calls. I appreciate it. We do need to take a break, and we got to come back in a moment because Stacey Keach... is going to be joining us. Great actor.
He's been in a ton of stuff.
We'll talk to him in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
Freshen up your look with a fall merch update at MMR's Rock Shop. Head to WMMR.com and grab the latest hoodie or winter hat. For all you Halloween heads, hit up aisle one for a flurry of ghostly face masks. They'll get you right in the spirit. And work nicely if you're one of those, this is my costume kind of people. Plus, gift cards, t-shirts, hats, and coffee mugs for a unique gift for that person who has everything. The Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Everything that rocks your wardrobe and more.
Our next guest, we are excited to speak to. Steve and I are huge fans of him.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't matter what he's promoting. We would love to have him on, which is great because I'm not really sure what he's promoting.
It looks very interesting. I'll say that, and we're going to need him to explain it to us.
And that's what I would like to do. But it's spoken word. Yep. And
which we love.
He has such a great vocal delivery. I'm curious if he's done radio in his career because I would guess that he has just from the sound. But listen, we'll get to all that in a moment. Please welcome the one and only Mr. Stacey Keach.
Yeah.
To the program, and a good morning to you, Stacey.
Good morning, Preston. Good morning, Steve.
How are you?
I'm very well.
So can
you... wonders of technology. I'm talking to you from Poland.
Poland?
Get out of here.
How come you have a better connection talking to us from Poland?
I'm outside of Warsaw in a little town called Magdalinka.
Wow.
And it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon here. I know it's 6 o'clock in the morning where you are, I think, isn't it?
Well, 9 a.m. here, that's a huge difference. Well, good on you, man. That's fantastic.
So what finds you in Poland this morning?
What's that?
What finds you in Poland?
Oh, my wife is Polish. We have a house. I've been living, I have a house here.
Oh, all right.
30 years.
Before we talk about the project here, we just had a discussion this morning of places you would never consider going to vacation. And I've been to Sweden because we have family in there. I never thought about going there. Was so glad I did. Is Poland that way? There's got to be beautiful spots to visit.
It's a wonderful country. I mean, everybody is having this terrible experience of spiking right now with the virus in Europe particularly.
But it's a beautiful country. I love it. And hopefully this is going to, you know, subside in the near future. I hope.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, about this this project, Salmon Hill Lie and Other Stories by Paul Sipkin.
Yes. A wonderful Russian writer, translated by Paul Lazarus, who is a wonderful director. And I worked with him back in the 90s when he was running the Pasadena Playhouse, did a little play called Solitary Confinement by Rupert Holmes.
Uh-huh.
And I discovered this writer through Paul, and he's fascinating. I mean, it's a wonder. He's really an extraordinary storyteller. And I think that he reminds me a lot of Chekhov. I mean, in a young Chekhov.
Well, we always think of Russian literature as dour and nihilistic and all that. This seems like there's a broad range of stuff in here with different actors reading it. Is that correct?
Right. Exactly right. Wonderful actors. Vanessa Williams, Jason Alexander, Michael Urie, wonderful actors reading these very interesting stories. And he, he speaks very good English. He was inspired as a young writer by Mark Twain and O. Henry. So he's pretty much tied into American writers. And his stories are funny, and they're moving, and they have a thriller-like quality to them. Very suspenseful. Well, you can go and find them at www.sipkinstories.com.
People are looking for stuff like this. They're looking for, you know, something just to kind of take, as you said, take their mind off of what's going on in the world. So there is an opportunity for you. To Preston's observation earlier, have you yourself done radio in your lifetime? I know you've done voiceover work, but radio in general?
As a matter of fact, this weekend, LA Theater Works is a wonderful organization. I was a founding member of it. They do plays in front of a live audience for radio.
Okay.
They're radio dramas. And we're doing Frankenstein Sunday night, 10 o'clock, KPFK.
I love that old-style radio production.
Oh, me too.
It's just some of the best, yeah. You know, theater of the mind, and it's kind of what we do, but in a much more profane way. But it's still sort of similar. Anyway, I wanted
radio
to...
Radio was what first inspired me to become an actor. My dad was... He did a show called Tales of the Texas Rangers. He produced it and directed it back in the 50s. And I used to go down to the studio to watch these actors perform live, and I was mesmerized by it. I loved it. Radio, I love radio. I mean, it caters to the imagination.
Well, I have to tell you, you have been, and Preston was in the intro mentioning this, you've been a part of so many pop culture and movie experiences that I just have adored and have recommended to so many people. You're in the film version of The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, which is a masterpiece with Alan Arkin and based on the Carson McCullers story, which is great. The New Centurions. And then we were pointing out the fact that American History X, which is a film that just thunders, it would not work were you, and I mean this as a compliment, as reprehensible a character as you were in it. For it to have the bite that it had, you had to see the opposites of that. And the performance was just amazing. Do you have any memories from working on that film?
Oh, yes, I do indeed. In matter of fact, during the shooting of that film, our sets or our locations were top secret because we were very worried that we were going to get visited by some guys that didn't want to see what we were depicting.
Right.
And years after it came out, I'll never forget. I was in an airport, and this guy, I looked up, and he was definitely a skinhead, and he was coming toward me, and I thought, oh no, this is he was walking aggressively toward me.
Yeah.
And he came over and he dropped down to his knees. He said, "You're my God. You're my God." I mean, I
can't
get the hell out of me.
Yeah.
That character had a lot of influence over, you know, I mean, he became heroic to a certain group of white nationalists.
That's
wild, because I think the film had, to me, must have incited the other way as well, because it's such a powerful message against it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, right. Well, Ed Norton, great actor, and he was wonderful.
Stacy, I had to ask.
Film. It's
it's beautifully done.
Oh, I watched it two times in one day. It was very profound to me. I wanted to ask Stacy from earlier in your career how you ended up working with Cheech and Chong on Up in Smoke, because that was a completely different direction for you.
Yeah, I love that movie. well, we all at that time we were all living in Malibu.
Okay.
We knew each other. We were learning each other, and they asked me if I'd like to play this character, Sergeant Stadenko. I read the script and I loved the script. It was so funny.
It's the best. I love it. Well, listen, Stacey, we know you only have a few minutes because you have to talk to some other people. But if people are interested in Sam and Eli and the Other Stories by Paul Sipkin, it is available now at SipkinStories.com. And are you narrating one or several of the stories in this line?
One.
Okay.
One story. Yeah. One story. And there are 10 actors. There are 10 stories.
Okay.
So it's a wonderful buy. It really is. And, you know, since we're hunkered down in our homes right now, I mean, I think, you know, people will appreciate it.
Well, we'll look into it, absolutely.
Thank you, Stacey. It's great to speak to you and have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Day.
All right, Stacey Keach, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I would have loved to have talked to him longer, though, man.
I know. Sergeant Stadenko in Up in Smoke. It's such a bizarre character.
I would love when he'd start reeling off the names for drugs. Peruvian Flake.
Yeah. Yep. I love it.
And one of the scenes that just of the multitude of scenes that he's in that just makes you die laughing is they have this drug sniffing dog that there's a van built out of pot.
Yeah.
And they cut to a picture of the dog, and the dog is back with its four legs
to the air. I love it, man. I love it. Hey, but a question. When all men get old, do they develop a whistle when they speak?
Yeah, a little.
Because my dad does, too.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's something with your mouth happens when you get old. You start to whistle.
But some people also, when they're younger, do it.
Our
promotions genius, Eric, there's a little whistle there.
Does
now
he have
and
a
then.
Whistle?
A little bit of a whistle now and then.
Okay.
Hey, what was that Rupert Holmes reference that he made in that interview? Stacey Keach brought up Rupert Holmes, but I didn't. Is it the same guy as the Pina Colada song?
I missed it. I think he's done stage work and stuff of that nature.
Really?
So you may want to check on that. I could be completely wrong. In fact, I would bet on it, but I know he's done a lot of theater stuff.
Huh.
These are the kind of guys that you want to get in the studio.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah.
But you can't because he's in Poland.
Yeah. That was cool, though, that he was calling from Poland.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Everyone should call from Poland.
Yeah, you're right, Steve. Television writer and novelist, Rupert Holmes. So he's done some stuff for the theater and for TV as well.
Besides the Pina Colada
song. Writing Pierre's favorite song.
He wrote, he's won 2 Tony Awards.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Nice.
All right. You know what? I did notice a thing this morning.
Oh
yes. Besides Kathy's butt in her jumpsuit.
Don't say Kathy's butt. Don't they say
Kathy ass.
Kathy ass. Damn.
I said not to say that.
Actually, Kath ass. I think it's not Kathy.
Cat ass.
Dude, I called it. So there was a nun, Sister Helen Mary, and I called her. We used to call her Sister Harry Mellon behind her back, and I called her that to her face because I was thinking to myself, don't call her Sister Harry Mellon. And yeah. I called her that. But I did it as an adult. I was not a student at the time.
So she didn't hit you with a.
No.
Yeah.
She was a shaker. Yeah. She would shake you.
Or she would shake you.
I want you dead.
Yeah.
I want you to die.
Harry Mellon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Helen Mary.
Helen Mary, Harry Mellon. Okay. So the thing I noticed?
Yes.
The noticer's here.
Keith Raniere, the leader of the NXIVM sex cult, was sentenced to 120 years in prison yesterday.
So The Vow is the series on HBO. It wrapped up. It was 10 episodes. I don't know. Have you finished it yet, President?
Nah, I still got 2 left to watch.
So it doesn't. Listen, it's not as crazy riveting as the Scientology specialist, but it's really good.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that they have so much footage and so much stuff that was shot throughout the people basically were converts who then left
Nexium and realized that they were being taken for a ride. So there's a lot of stuff.
And one guy was a documentarian. Another was a couple. One was an actress. These main people that defected and wanted to turn things around. And so, therefore, they knew to document everything. Once they were already documenting within the cult, but then afterwards, when they were going through the process of trying to expose it, they were documenting that as well, which turned made it for very compelling television. So he, Ranieri, has been convicted of sex trafficking and other crimes. His company Nexium had offered self-improvement workshops, but they were actually a cult-like criminal operation with some of the women involved sexually abused by Ranieri and other women, by the way.
And by the way, some of these, I mean, we're not talking people who are your classic lost individuals.
No.
They're, the Seagram's heiress
and
was
in fact,
part of this.
They say in the documentary that he wanted these well-to-do, intelligent people. Now, they weren't lost. They had some things about themselves that they wanted answered. They you know, about
self-help
existence and a better life and so on, and obviously to continue success or to achieve success. But they were already doing fine as they were, but they fell into the trappings of giving your money over to this.
Right.
Being limited in your social engagements and eventually your food intake and stuff like
and
that.
And that came down to the sex part of it. So there was a group that splintered off from it that was the one that you probably read about or heard about where they were actually they were branding women with the mark, which is amazing. They had them sticking to 500 calories a day, I think it was, because he likes them very thin.
Yeah.
And it's just unbelievable.
Kissed everybody on the lips too, right?
All
everybody.
The time, yeah.
Yep. And the weird thing is, we've mentioned this on the air before, is while watching this documentary, as they're going through the tenets of this organization and the ideals behind it, some of it you're like, that's a great idea.
That actually does make sense.
You're
that sort of. And so
I
you
can't
see
let
why
the anger help, you know, control me like that. You
and
know?
So as one of the guys says, Preston, because no. He goes, we didn't join a cult.
Yeah.
It didn't present itself as a cult. It actually presented itself as something, or his presentation of it was as something that was going to really accentuate your life.
Yeah.
It just went south quickly.
But even the main, one of the main persons in this had said at the beginning, because they had this, they had a rank system and you had to wear these scarves of different colors. And she was like, this is stupid. Yeah. What am I doing? But after getting over the awkwardness of that, it just became part of the routine.
I got my scarf.
Yeah. So it's wild. And it's wild to watch people seduced by that type of thing and step by step being manipulated along the way while not even knowing that it's going on. And all of a sudden they're handing over their money, their time, and then their allegiances and things like that.
And the actress, Catherine Oxenberg, who's, you know, from Dynasty and from years ago and all sorts of stuff, her daughter got involved with it, and she's a big part of the series. And now there's a second series, Preston, that focuses completely on her.
Yeah, it's from her perspective. Yep. India Oxenberg is her name. And so I'm interested to see that.
Yep.
Because she stayed, even after all this stuff was coming public, she stayed with it for an amount. And I don't know what the turning point was.
Yeah.
But she eventually got out of that. So,
120 years.
This dude's
good behavior, I think, out in 80?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But it's wild because I don't know why they were so enamored by him. I mean, he had answers for them, or, you know, what he
quasi
felt were.
Quasi answers, yeah.
But some of these people just looked at him like Allison Mack. She fell in real deep.
Oh, my God. This footage of her.
And was one of the enablers. But she's, her just looking at him like almost crying at what he's saying
to her.
Don't
think about his ass. Don't think about his ass.
It's wild, man. So notice that. If you haven't seen The Vow, it's worth checking out. All right, let's see what else I noticed here.
The notice just keeps noticing.
That's right.
Yeah.
I noticed yesterday my family and I voted, and was happy to do that. It's my son Carter's first time voting.
Oh, that's nice.
Parker's second time voting, and my daughter went along with us. But you guys probably saw this, but the headstone of women's suffrage leader Susan B. Anthony's grave, they put a plastic cover over it because people were putting their I voted stickers on it.
Oh.
Which is a nice tribute.
It is, yeah.
I think. But they wanted to protect the actual material of the headstone.
There are headstones that are classic arrival points for people. You know, the Jim Morrison
Yeah.
Who
I've been there.
Susan B. Anthony is often confused with Jim
yeah.
Morrison.
Yeah, it happens. She was the lizard queen.
Yeah, the lizard queen. But there are ones where they have to keep, like Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
You know, it's another one.
Yeah, you know what? Ben Franklin's grave. You ever been down there and seen
that? I have,
that?
Yes.
No. So people throw pennies on it, I think, right? Marissa's nodding. And I would imagine over time, that's got to do some damage.
Yeah, I think there's a sign saying that they collect the money and donate it somewhere.
Yeah.
But also, when I was in New Orleans, Nick Cage has a mausoleum built already for himself. And
oh,
people
wow.
go and kiss that.
So
there's
shut
lipstick marks
Nicolas Cage?
Okay. Yes, in New Orleans.
Praying for his death, I guess?
No, I just like him. I don't know.
I love national treasure.
It's just become a thing to do.
Yeah.
I guess.
We got to go
I'm
kiss
honored.
Nicolas Cage's.
I'm honored that you're kissing my tombstone.
His crypt that is empty.
Okay.
So, okay. Interesting.
He just hangs out there.
Why do people throw pennies at Ben? And why
a
not
penny
leave...
saved is a penny earned.
Okay. I'd rather
yeah,
them.
Come on, man. Read a book.
Put $50 bills. You know?
With a grant on
that? You know what? It said Nicolas Cage
or
stands out front.
Bill.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage stands out front and gives the information on it.
Yeah. Led honestly. A wonderful life. Yeah. Honeymoon in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Throw a $100 bill, Casey. 100,
I said 50 like an idiot.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I missed it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No,
well,
worry.
Just in case
just
Grant
go,
shows up.
Yeah. Yeah, just go past this part.
Man, Nicolas Cage's pyramid is pretty rocking.
It is.
Who's in
rocking.
Grant's tomb? $100 bill.
You guys don't have a grave plot bought yet, do you?
No.
No, I'm going to get cremated.
I have a, I know Preston has a homemaking beer kit.
You shove my ashes in that thing.
I have not. Me. No, I'm going to be cremated.
Yeah, so are we.
Is that narcissistic of Nick Cage to do this thing? I mean, like, it's kind of
neat.
To set
up an Egyptian pyramid?
Yeah, in advance of your own passing?
Why not? I mean, if you
I don't know.
You
just
it.
Made a decision that you want to be cremated.
Yes, but I don't have a tribute set up for my place where the ashes are going to be scattered.
You don't have an idea of where you want to be scattered?
Well, you have your playlist, do you not?
For my funeral, yes. But that's for me and my loved ones. This is not a public place where people can swing by and pay homage to me long before I pass.
But listen, I think burial spaces in New Orleans are very limited.
At a premium.
Mm-hmm. So it's below sea level. And they have to bury them above ground.
Yes.
And so there's not much space. So I think that's the story with that. So maybe that's why he preserved that. And maybe somebody found out about it. I don't think he did a tourism campaign for people to go and see his tomb.
You can learn all about New Orleans and the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie Hard Target.
Oh, okay. So anyway, I was trying to think of other famous graves I may have
been to.
As a kid, I know that we took some historical trips. I mean, there's the monuments and things in D.C., and I've been to Kennedy's grave and all that.
Michael Myers' grave keeps getting stolen. You know
it
that.
Does?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There are some famous, there are a whole bunch. When you talked about the trip to England. You know, they're obvious. And any place that has any, you know, Rich, our cemeteries here are
there's a few. I've looked it up before. An interesting one over here. So we have Laurel Hill over here. What's across the
That's Laurel Hill there? West?
That's
and
Laurel
East
West?
And West. Yeah.
Okay. The guy who created the Derringer, the gun, he's buried there.
Is his name Derringer?
Yeah, I believe so.
Rick Derringer?
Not Rick Derringer, who did
Rock and Roll
Hoochie-Coo? No. They might be related. I don't know.
Optimus Prime hung out in the one across the river in the second
yes,
Transformers
he did.
Movie.
He's not buried there, though, is he?
No.
That'd be a huge plot.
Yeah, he's Cybertron.
Mm. But I'm trying to think. I love this song, by the way,
yeah,
man.
Cool one.
So this guy invented a pistol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember seeing notables who were buried at Laurel Hill, and his was one of the names. I was surprised to not see more famous statesmen names pop up.
In our area?
Henry Dillinger. Derringer. Derringer, not Dillinger.
Henry Dillinger's buried in Henry Derringer's grave.
Yeah.
What an oversight.
Throw a $50 bill on it.
To tribute Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin.
Which everyone goes to kiss in honor of Susan B.
Look up, see if you can look up and see what famous people are buried in Laurel Hill Cemetery. There's got to be more.
How many dead
with
people
the history
are there?
With the history of this city?
Yes,
and
we've got nothing except that.
Yeah, there's got to be more buried there. I don't know.
Right?
I know that
notable burials.
Wait, Nancy, is it Strungeon or?
From the Sex Pistols.
Sid Nancy, she's buried around here somewhere.
Oh,
I do know that. Yeah, so Have you pulled them up, Nick?
Yeah, these are all notables at the Laurel Hill Cemetery. Some of these names I recognize, but most of them I don't.
Yeah.
What about Harry Callis? What about Larry Fine?
I don't know where he's buried. That's a good question.
I'll look him up next, but I'm just looking through these names, Steve, to see if there's anybody that sort of jumps out at me. And
there's a lot.
Yeah, there are a lot.
There's definitely a lot.
There's a lot in Père Lachaise. I mean, you mentioned Jim Morrison, and there are a lot of notables in Paris that were buried there as well, not just Jim.
Yeah, I saw Chopin's grave. That was the only other famous. Yeah, Chopin.
Balzac is there.
Balzac's are yummy.
Yeah, Honoré de Balzac.
Who's that?
I just like saying his name. He's a poet, French poet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Harry Callis. So we're going through the names in alphabetical order. But, I'm waiting for one that really pops that was a big historical name. And I know there's got to be.
Balzacs are yummy.
There you go. Welcome to the grave. All right. Anyhow. People are putting they put up a plastic covering.
Yes.
Over Susan B. Anthony's grave because there were so many I voted stickers on it, which I think is a nice tribute to everything that she stood for. So,
yes.
Hold on. Marissa.
As we said before, my boyfriend's brewery is named the Larimer after an actual general named General Larimer. He was buried in Pittsburgh, so there's nothing else to do in Pittsburgh, so we went to a cemetery.
Oh, you did?
We did. So we found his grave, but I found online a hand-drawn map of the graveyard that was pretty much the size of Laurel Hill Cemetery. We got locked in to the graveyard.
No.
Because it was like dark and snowing. So we had to call 911 to let us out of this graveyard.
That's how the horror movie starts.
Yes, all the time.
You know?
My name is General Larimer.
Wow.
So, okay. Steve, Larry Fine betrayed his Philadelphia roots and is buried in Forest Lawn in L.A. with a lot of other notable people.
Well, that's where the celebrities get buried.
Humphrey Bogart, Walt Disney.
Marilyn Monroe.
Nat King Cole. Yeah. The list goes on.
Yep. Okay. Anyway, and by the way, that song that you played, Casey,
it's
Blues Traveler.
No, we'd always, we had made up lyrics for that song, or I'd heard lyrics for it. Do you guys know what they were?
No.
Play it from the beginning, please.
Okay, here we go. Ready?
Yep. Pray for the dead, and the dead will pray for you.
You made that up?
I don't know. I remember it. I remember it from as a kid, so I don't know if you guys have ever heard that before. Also, there's a place in France where the naked ladies dance.
Yeah.
And there's a hole
in the wall where the boys can see it all. That's mm-hmm. right.
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. man.
Yep. Let's see. I have some other things I noticed.
You did.
I did. Yeah.
And if you do,
I need my music.
I got stuff from the noticer. Sorry for the delay on the music.
It's all right.
We're playing funeral stuff.
A massive Hollywood memorabilia auction selling off some of Tinseltown's most famous props is set to send classic film fans wild.
And Gaga?
Some of the items include Tom Cruise's Top Gun bomber jacket.
Dr. Mike.
Get that for Dr. Mike.
And Julia Roberts' Pretty Woman boots are all
get that for Kathy.
Due to go under the hammer in all more than 900 pieces.
So the Pretty Woman boots are the ones that go all the way up, like the thigh boots, right?
Yeah, in the beginning of the movie.
Right.
More than 900 pieces of movie and TV memorabilia are being sold by Prop Store at a huge Hollywood auction that will take place in December. They're not going to be cheap. The memorabilia has the potential to rake in over $8 million in total based on the valuation done on each piece beforehand.
What are some of the other items? Did they mention them?
Yes. Ewan McGregor's, the lightsaber wielded by Ewan McGregor in Revenge of the Sith. That's estimated. Now, this is listed in English pounds, so right. I got to kind of ballpark it, but it's going to be somewhere in the $200,000 range.
Jesus.
A training suit worn by 007 featured in Skyfall, so it's Bond, Daniel Craig wore it. That has an estimate of somewhere in the $30,000 to $40,000 range.
No.
The boots worn by Pretty Woman, Julia Roberts, could fetch anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000. Tom Cruise's jacket from Top Gun, it says around $30,000 to $40,000.
It's got to be a small jacket. He's a small dude.
Yeah. You need to buy that for Dr. Mike because he saved your life.
Yes, it's true.
Michael J. Fox's jacket from Back to the Future Part 2 could fetch like $30,000. I don't remember what he wore.
Is
in
it
Back
the one
to
where
Part 2?
Or he and his son, also played by Michael J. Fox, are wearing
it's
the same jacket.
The top of it is right there. I can see it.
okay, on the screen there.
The sleeves adjust, right?
Yeah, that's the one. I'd want the
the hoverboard.
If you're talking about something that
would you fall off a ship
that he wore? The life preserver deal. What were those things even called?
Vest.
Just a vest.
Just a vest. Yeah, I guess a down vest. Other highlights include Johnny Depp's pirate hat from Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
What do we hear? What do we hear? What do we hear?
He's actually going to be calling the. He's going to be the barker or whatever you call those guys.
Auctioneer.
Auctioneer. Thank you for that.
My wife crapped in the bed.
Thank you.
You're just telling anybody.
He brings it up every time. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
And sold.
So to this man here in the gray vest in the would you fall off a ship?
Steve, the mechanical alien head from the original Alien film.
That's pretty amazing. I wonder how it's held up.
Who's that?
H.R. Giger?
Yeah, man, he did a ton of stuff, right?
He did, but yeah.
Was he a prop master?
No, he was actually a German artist. It was based on his work. The Stan Winston did the actual the effects, you know, and all that, but they used all what they call a biomechanical look.
Mm-hmm. This one sounds pretty cool. The helmet that Tom Hanks wore in Saving Private Ryan, autographed by the cast.
Wow.
I like that.
Even Vin Diesel?
Yeah. He was a member of that little family.
Does anyone have a crayon?
It's not permanent.
Come here, Vin.
Then you also have Russell Crowe's stunt arena shield from Gladiator.
That's cool. Get that for Marilyn Russell.
Yep. And Robin Williams' costume in Hook.
Oh, neat. Those boots by Julia Roberts, man, those are sexy.
Yeah, they are. They're thigh highs. They go all the way up there.
Do you think you'd look good on Nick? Or?
I think I would. Yeah. That or the Hook outfit. Either or.
Kath, you ever worn thigh high boots?
Yeah, I have a pair of them.
You said you like them, right?
All the way up to the thigh?
Yeah. I mean, mid thigh, not like my hip.
I think
a
calendar release party or something a few years ago, you wore them because there's a really great photo of you and Marissa at an event. I'm not sure.
Really,
boys? I'm not sure if it was a calendar release party or not.
Oh, that was the picture where I tanned everything but my hands. And so if you go back and look, somebody pointed it out to me. I did not see it. And someone pointed it out to me and said, "You'll never not see it." And he was right. All I see now is my white hand next to my Caribbean leg.
I want to see that. That's funny. I think I've been.
It's on my Instagram account.
All right.
I remember John Gonzalez. He was doing Phillies post game, and he was wearing TV makeup on his face, and he did it everywhere except for his neck. It looked like he was wearing a turtleneck.
Also being auctioned off, Jack Nicholson's fedora from his Joker role in Batman.
What am I bid?
David Bowie's crystal ball from Labyrinth.
Oh, wow. Now that would be something.
Yep. Brad Pitt's red leather jacket from Fight Club.
Huh.
And Madonna's hat from Evita.
Yeah.
Other highlights also.
I use that as a candy bowl.
The outfit that Keanu Reeves wore in The Matrix Reloaded.
For the first Matrix, I might go for.
But I think I'm wondering if it's like that long duster that he wore that had the short collar on it.
It is cool.
And also the R2-S8 droid from Solo, A Star Wars Story, is going to be going up for sale. R2-S8, that's the little rolly ball, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's DB, that's, DB9 or DB Cooper.
I don't remember.
No, that's BB-8 is in the BB-8. Latest one. Yeah, but Solo had its own droid, so it's...
DVD-A?
Oh, maybe it's the, whatever.
R2-S8. It's hard to beat DVD-A.
Yep.
That's why I stopped.
The company, by the way, has 30 employees in London and Los Angeles and 25,000 square feet of props and costume archives. I love that stuff.
I do, too, and I just look with envy because you can't afford any of it. But, I mean...
I wonder what I would do if I bought something like that. I wonder how long I would be happy with that. You know what I mean? But it is an investment. I mean, a lot of them are investments.
You know, I buy these... I just got a new Batman, Affleck. And they do,
they do
appreciate in value. So, but the way to play it, and I've learned, is that you do these things and these collectibles, the limited stuff that does appreciate. When they offer like purchase points and things like that, and you can parlay those. So it's basically their way of giving you a taste every time. So you're so seduced that you're buying all this stuff. But I do enjoy seeing it around the house.
Especially in
the office. I love it.
Like you have displayed it properly.
Yeah.
I think that's the way. If it's just sitting amongst other things that don't belong, I think they could get kind of lost.
With your CBS shirt hanging on it.
Right. Giacchino does a great job in his office. He's got these you know, really cool looking cabinets that he's put all these things in. They look like,
yeah,
in a whole ensemble, it works. It looks really good. But if you just have one thing and it's sitting on the wall,
it
might lose its luster after
a while. To me, it makes me feel good.
Here's my white hand, Preston, next to my leg.
Wait, okay. I need your phone. I can't see it from there. Oh, hang on. I scrolled through it. Yes, and those are some high boots. Wow, Marissa's showing the cleave in that shot, too. Mm-hmm. So the ladies were done up. That was for the calendar release party. I'm going to throw this back.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
no.
Throw it. Catch it.
Oh, oh, no. Dropped it.
Are you ready, boys?
Sorry, I hit your hands. All right, let me see what else I noticed.
More for the noticer.
Yeah.
So many things to notice.
2020 has been a stressful year, I noticed.
Notice that 2020 was stressful or is stressful.
A recent survey of over 3,400 American dentists revealed the majority report seeing a rise in stress-related oral health conditions.
Like teeth gnashing?
Yeah, exactly. Since the pandemic began, this includes jaw grinding and clenching, chipped and cracked teeth, and symptoms of, oh my God, I can't even pronounce this word. Temporomandibular disorders. I did it!
Yay!
Or dysfunction of the jaw muscles, joints, and nerves. I guess because you're just clenching your
jaw. I'm having a wonderful time.
Or so much fun.
You want to know what kind of day I'm having? I just bought pants at CVS.
So there's hope, though, thanks to a retainer-like device known as the Night Guard. Typically worn while sleeping, the device relaxes the jaw and helps prevent teeth grinding by acting as a barrier between teeth.
Is that TMJ that you're talking about?
Yes, yep.
Yeah,
it's the gossip site.
No,
that's TMZ.
Yeah.
TMJ is what?
It's kind of like Lockjaw, but it's not quite. And it's the things that you're describing right now sound really similar to that.
It is. It has to be. It's a jaw disorder. In fact, in some cases, it can get very... very severe. I don't know why I remember this, but I remember years ago, Burt Reynolds had it so bad that he suffered extreme weight loss.
Right.
And, it's bad.
Hmm.
Some versions of it.
What was the long word that you said, Preston?
It is temporomandibular disorders.
That's it. Yeah, so this is the temporomandibular joint. Acts like a sliding hinge. I'm reading it on the screen above, but it can lead to teeth grinding, and it can be a really stressful thing that happens while you're asleep.
Okay. So one New York City-based dentist described the recent surge of patients requesting night guards as extraordinary. It's
the damnedest thing I've ever seen.
80 to 90% of the population likely grinds and clenches their teeth in cycles associated with stress. Not that I know of.
I never have that issue.
When I find myself tense and concerned or upset, yes, I will notice that I'm clenching my teeth. And so...
You know, it's a good way to stop that, though. If you do, when you go to sleep, put a bowling pin in your mouth.
A bowling pin?
It keeps
the top or the bottom?
The top.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. That makes more sense.
Yeah, it's a little... It can probably fit into your mouth a little bit more. All right, anyhow, these are a few things that I noticed this morning, so I'll have time for as we need to take a break, but not before we give away two $25 gift cards for the Irish Horn. And I'll take callers 12 and 13 at 215-263-WMMR. It's part of the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday night home game kickoff. You can visit
Irish Horn.
WMMR.com/Bud Light. To enter to win a football home gate prize pack delivered safely by a member of the Preston and Steve show. And as part of the event, you can win incredible prizes for your football home gate, including a case of Bud Light Platinum, $100 Primos gift card,
awesome,
custom MMR and Bud Light Platinum Seltzer pint glasses, and a $25 gift card from a local restaurant like the Irish Horn, which you can find at 882 2nd Street in Richboro, PA. So callers 12 and 13. Taking care of you. We're going to be back in just a moment, so make sure you stay with us because some B-File stories are coming up.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Hey, I missed something on the birthdays. What? I missed something on the birthdays today.
It's Jackson's birthday today.
Whoa!
Jackson Jackson is celebrating, I don't know which birthday today, but I did see it pop up on my on Facebook, you know, reminder of whose birthday was today. I did not know that.
He just got back from some really cool, like, tactical training thing.
Yeah, I always get invited to go to that. Ernie, our buddy Ernie, is the guy who usually plays, like, come on out, we'll shoot some guns and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And I never take him up on it, but it looked pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know where it was.
They're all wearing uniforms and stuff.
Yes!
Look very manly.
Got, like, those, like, military pants and boots and stuff.
There you go. I was looking at this one picture, and I assume that what they're doing in this, because they're holding on to someone who's behind them, is you're protecting someone as you're holding on to them while you're firing your gun.
You know, I didn't know what that was either.
Kind of getting in front of them and making sure that they're protected. So I'm
Well, you know, Dr. Mike and I are now an elite paramilitary organization ourselves, and so we might have to check into this.
I'm wondering if Jackson is going to get into... I wonder if he gets Soldier Fortune magazine. And if he's going to be a mercenary,
then he's going to have to split that, because he also has a split career as a male model for gay magazines.
Yeah,
you know, he's in the calendar too of the doctorals.
Yeah, he looks great. So I wonder if he's behind the scenes, if he zips off to countries unknown to go into hot spots and get expats out or something like
that. He's the one they put on the radio, right?
It just scares the hell out of everybody. When they hear that voice coming across as they're intercepting a coded message.
Oh, good for him, man. That's cool.
Happy birthday, Mr. Jackson. We love you to death. Let's do the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
I forgot traffic.
Oh, we did.
Let's take a look at NJM Insurance Group traffic. Kathy, what's going on this morning?
Schuylkill Expressway eastbound slows Broad Street to Front Street. The roadway reduced to two lanes. That's construction. Also eastbound slowing Montgomery to 30th Street. The Vine westbound heavy 8th to the Schuylkill Expressway. 95 southbound slowing Cottman to Bridge. 295 southbound between 322 exit 11 and Center Square Road exit 10. We've got the left lane closed with construction until 5 o'clock. And then across the Commodore Barry Bridge westbound side, the roadway reduced to one lane. This traffic report brought to you by Allstate. If you're driving less, you could be saving more on car insurance. Save money with Paper Mile Insurance from Allstate. Call a local Allstate agent and get a quote. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Is it okay to do it now?
I guess.
Casey, you got to restart
no,
it.
No, no, you're good.
Oh, well, I wanted the
intro. You want the whole thing? Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That was Preston C. riding on a Segway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perry Grip.
That's right. The guy who was in the band Not a Surf. Did you know that?
No.
Okay.
No. We're buying time now.
They did. No, we're not.
No, you're not. He's
the guy. He did jingles for Wawa for a while, and he did Preston C. riding on a Segway. He did Up Your Butt with a Coconut. But he did a song popular from a band called Not a Surf.
That's a good song.
Back in
I always liked that song.
1990s.
Yeah. That was the decade of the Soup Dragons, Preston.
That is. You are correct. All right. We're going to do the B-File now. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
I think he was in the band, wasn't he, Nick?
I don't think so.
My God damn it.
What are you thinking of?
Don't listen to what I say. All right. No. I remember what it was. He did a song called Van Halen.
Nerf Herder.
From Nerf Herder.
Yeah.
Started with an N. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Okay. That was a funny song.
Yeah.
All right, we're moving on.
Nerf Herder, New Kids on the Block.
Brought to you this morning by HERS Game Day Traditions, even at your home gate. However you're gearing up for the game, make sure to have Philly's favorite chip, HERS Forever Good. A Bronx man was left horrified when he fell more than a dozen feet into a sinkhole that was swarming with rats.
Yeah!
Oh, dear God.
Kathy, it made it difficult for him to even open his mouth to call out for help for fear that they would get into his mouth. There were so many rats.
I really think that I would die in that situation.
Like you would have a heart attack from fear.
Would you kill yourself?
No, but I think that like a heart attack would definitely be a strong possibility for me.
Where was this again, Preston?
It was in New York.
New York Bronx. Rats are the size of small dogs.
Yeah.
Is it the movie 1984 where they have that rat in the cage?
Yes.
I had a hard time watching that.
Winston's greatest fear is rats, so they put one right in front of him.
That's where the line rats comes from.
Charlie Brown.
Yeah,
right?
I'm sorry.
Okay. So,
they're very similar.
They did a version of 1984. Leonard Shoulders had been waiting on a bus at 3rd Avenue across from St. Barnabas Hospital on Saturday when the sidewalk caved in. Duh. His mom, Cindy White, said it could have been anyone. Surveillance video shows the moment that Shoulders falls into the sidewalk trying to hold on to and ultimately plummeting 12 to 15 feet. She said he went down feet first. He was just standing on the sidewalk, and it was like suction, like a sinkhole. He just went down in it.
Stop playing with those rats and come in, Jack.
Shoulders refused to scream for help, fearing that the rats in the hole would fill his mouth.
Oh, my God.
And
it's a slice of hell.
She was quoting him when she said, he was like, Ma, the rats down there were ridiculous.
Ma!
They were so big, he was scared to yell out.
How old was he again?
I don't know.
33.
33, yeah. Oh. After nearly half an hour of waiting, firefighters and police arrived to the scene and they retrieved him.
Wow, the rats are like so big.
A temporary fence is set up while crews work to fix the hole. Three businesses in the area have had to close as well while the hole is being fixed.
You guys going to fix the rat hole?
The Department of Buildings is investigating the incident. Potential enforcement actions are pending the results of that investigation.
Did they have any suggestion as to why the hole was filled with rats?
No, not in that story that I saw. I don't know if it led to a sewer system underneath or what, but he just literally, it's like a trap door open beneath him.
Oh my God.
Goes straight down.
Yeah.
It's wild. A dispute between Bond King, meaning bonds in the stock market, Bill Gross, and his next-door neighbor over a $1 million outdoor sculpture has developed into police calls to their Laguna Beach mansions, multiple legal actions, and allegations that the billionaire investor blared the Gilligan's Island theme song on a loop at all hours just to piss off his neighbors.
Rich people fights.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is. So the Bimco co-founder, Pimco co-founder and his partner, former...
They supply pimps to the underprivileged countries around
former professional tennis player Amy Schwartz are being accused by tech entrepreneur Mark Taufik and his wife of harassment and intentional infliction of emotional distress.
Jeez.
The cause is a 22-foot-long blue glass installation and an even bigger pole and netting structure erected to protect it that Taufik said blocked his view, prompting a complaint to the city. It's another in a long line of bitter quarrels between well-to-do neighbors in Southern California's most expensive neighborhoods who sometimes find with a coveted address comes deep-pocketed adversaries and little peace of mind.
And that blocking the view thing has set off a number of battles, like especially in Malibu where people have beach views and somebody will come in and move in and set up some sort of structure that pisses them off.
At issue this time is an artwork that can be lighted at night and features cobalt colored reeds stretching nearly 10 feet in height, swimming marlin and globes inspired by traditional blown glass Japanese fishing boat floats.
It does not look obtrusive at all. It's just an arts installation on the side of the house. It didn't even block the view.
What happened, Nick, is they put up this cage like structure to protect it.
A bunch of
and then that's what pissed off the neighbors. So it was created by this. I'm not going to go into the guy who did the ceiling. The Bellagio created this artwork.
Chihuly or whatever, right?
Yeah, well done, Nick. It was Dale Chihuly, a Chihuly.
Yeah, Chihuly.
So anyhow, the lawn sculpture was installed in 2019.
Should have spent the money on a funeral pyramid.
I'm glad you're here.
I thought you left.
No, I'm hanging around since that. Cemetery talk.
Anyhow, the dispute began when Gross and Schwartz had installed netting this year to protect the work after it was damaged. Gross and Schwartz in a lawsuit said more than $50,000 in damage apparently caused by a thrown rock as evidence of an escalating campaign of vandalism. Taufik and his wife said that it was probably damaged by something falling on it.
You threw a rock at my installation.
Someone associated with Gross and Schwartz told a code enforcement officer that netting was temporary and was needed to protect the sculpture from trees and Mother Nature, and that the palm frond had caused $100,000 in damage. But the bottom line is it's still up. This was back in July. They were supposed to remove it, and they still have it up. So now this quarrel is going on, and there's a lawsuit and all this stuff back and forth with rich people hating their neighbors.
And fueled with tons of cash reserves to keep that fight going.
And why not? It gives them something to do, I guess.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
All right. Here's another story. A man identified only as Nathan owns 808 Bar and Kitchen in Sunderland, England, and says he found a man asleep in his restaurant's bathroom on Saturday. Next to the suspect was a bucket full of beer bottles, cider, and also a half-eaten cheesecake.
Mm.
Nathan realized the man had broken in overnight after reviewing security camera footage, in which saw two men enter and take several items. The video only showed one man leaving, however. Two men enter, one man leaves.
Yes.
And he locked...
Not only did cheesecake survive.
He saw the man and locked him inside the bathroom and called police. He suspect that the thief was possibly on drugs.
Can you send the cheesecake in?
And police took the man into custody and are still looking for the other man. But, yeah, he passed out. All right, and there you go. That's all we have time for in the B-File this morning. All right, let's get our secret text word winner. Kathy, what caller number would you like today?
15.
All right, call it 15 at 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the secret text word. We have the digital download of Beetlejuice for you. We'll also grab a random texter when we get back as well. So stay put. We'll return shortly.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
It's Wednesday morning, and it's kind of a cloudy day. It's going to stay that way from what I see. And temperatures are comfortable. They're the best they're going to be for the rest of the week. 68, so enjoy that because jacket weather is definitely arriving. So a little bit cooler tomorrow with some rain, 56. Much cooler on Friday. With some morning rain, the high temperature 46 degrees. So that's going to be the chilly one.
Okay.
Maybe starting off with some frost. Well, since it's going to be raining, probably not. But in the morning. But it's going to start feeling like that. So the jacket, might want to clean that out this weekend and get ready for it. Saturday for Halloween looks sunny and cool, 59 degrees. Then we'll be back up to 60 on Sunday.
Well, that's the most Saturdays. That's very workable for Halloween.
Workable.
Yes,
yeah,
I'm very much down with that.
So if people are doing stuff in the neighborhood, I'm sure the fire pits and so on will be out. But just a little bit on the cool side, but no rain. So
absolutely,
that'll work.
That's great.
What are we doing here?
We got the word.
Oh, yeah.
Word. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Thank you. We were looking for a number caller, and that was caller 15 for the secret text word. And it is Chris we're going to. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, Chris. I have one question, and that is, what is the word or the secret text word?
The secret text word is horny.
You're correct. Hang on a second, Chris. We are going to set you up. We have a digital download of Beetlejuice, hence the name. Say his name three times, since the song. Did I say hence the name?
Yeah.
Hence the song. Say his name three times and let the hysterical horror begin. And Tim Burton's beloved classic Beetlejuice, starring Michael Keaton as the ghost with the most, is available now on 4K, Ultra HD, Blu-ray, and digital. And we're also going to set up, I believe his name is Ed Kautz, C-O-U-T-T-S.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Who is from Willow Grove, Pennsylvania.
Nice.
And you are taking care of my friend, so enjoy. All right, let's do the lesson question for today. See if you've been paying attention. We have a $60 Metro Diner gift certificate to give to you. If you can tell me the answer to this. The towns of Gobi and Wartburg, Tennessee are about a quarter mile up the road from which other town? 215-263-WMMR. The towns of Gobi and Wartburg, Tennessee, are about a quarter mile up the road from which other town? 215-263-WMMR. We'll do the trash while you're calling.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's get us some stars. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, actor Pierce Brosnan listing his stunning Malibu beach house for $100 million. The realtor describes the home as exactly the home James Bond would live in if he really wanted to live next to Pat Sajak.
Hey!
Kristen Cavallari getting revenge on estranged husband Jay Cutler's recent dating by publicly making out with comedian actor Jeff Dye at a Chicago bar. And just to rub salt in the wound, Cavallari followed that up by rimming James Belushi.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And finally, Jill Dillard Duggar reportedly earning the wrath of her father, Duggar family patriarch Jim Bob Duggar, because she got a nose piercing. Jill says his reaction definitely informed her decision not to tell him about her machine gun mounted dildo. That's your Hollywood trash.
All righty, to the phones we go, looking for the answer to today's question. The towns of Gobbi and Wartburg, Tennessee, are about a quarter mile up the road from which other town? And I am going to go to Nat for the answer. Yo, Nat.
Matt?
It says oh, Nat. Matt. Is it Matt?
Matt.
Okay, Matt.
Matt.
Matt, do me a favor.
Yo, Mike, come on, dude. I'm on. It's Pub Cleave, baby.
There you go. Hey. Yeah.
Now that's the Matt I know.
The answer is Pub Cleave. And yeah, Matt got it right. And we are going to set him up with a $60 Metro Diner gift certificate. And you can amplify your next sports viewing party at home with help from your neighborhood Metro Diner, who have added meaty boneless and traditional wings to their menus alongside their latest game day packs that will also feed the whole squad. Available for takeout or delivery. Order online at metrodiner.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, we're going to start with, you know, I'm going to start with a clip, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Brian May, outstanding guitarist of Queen, nearly died, had a heart attack. And he is speaking out about that after going through that whole plan or that whole issue. So here's a little clip of him speaking on it.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And the complications that came afterwards were pretty bad. So it's been a big mountain to climb to get back up to strength again. But it's become my new religion, really. I just exercise. I do my cardio rehab every day. And I'm getting strong. I'm going to be Iron Man soon.
And apparently he had a reaction to medication.
He said that's actually what probably was worse for him, Preston. Yeah, here we go.
That's the point where I nearly lost my life, actually. Not the heart attack, strangely enough, yeah. You have to be so careful with the medication that they give you, because it's great for the stents, it's great for the heart, but it's not very good for the rest of your body, and you can really go down. You know, I'm so grateful to be alive, because a few years ago that couldn't have happened.
Yeah, my dad didn't have a heart attack, but he has arrhythmia, and the medication is very, very finicky, and you have to be very careful, and it can make you feel horrible.
Can you do cocaine with that stuff?
No.
Okay.
You cannot do cocaine with that, as far as I know.
Chuck actually just met somebody who was having a routine surgery. Might have been a heart surgery. I'm not sure. Right. But anyway, as he was under, he had no idea, but he was allergic to the blood thinner.
Oh, wow.
And ended up, like, not waking up from the surgery for a month, was in a coma.
Whoa, geez.
And then ended up losing limbs as a result.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, okay. Listen, terrible. Statistically, that's, you know,
it's an
very,
anomaly.
Very rare, yeah. But yep. That doesn't make it any less horrible if it happens to you.
On Friday, Rob Zombie is going to release his first new solo single in 4 years. He shared the news on social media on Sunday, writing what seems to be the title, which is The Triumph of King Freak, A Crypt of Preservation and Superstition. The new song will be included in Zombie's upcoming album, the follow-up to his 2019 album, which was The Electric Warlock Acid Witch Satanic Orgy Celebration Dispenser. He started working on the album in 2018 and finished it last fall. He said, I think it's the best record we've ever made. It's kind of all over the place. I think the fans are going to love it. I wouldn't call it psychedelic, but it draws from all kinds of things. Some of it's heavy, some of it's trashy, some of it's pretty weird and bizarre. I didn't want any two songs on the record to resemble each other. We're trying to find a new sound for almost every track. Disturbed have released their own brand of gin, and it's called Down with the Sickness.
Sick.
Currently, it is only available in Germany.
Hi, I'm Matt Kalper. When unexpected guests drop by, we enjoy the sickness.
That is. By the way, they are only making 666 bottles.
666 sickness bottles be for sale. Again, that's Kalper.
How many?
666 will be for sale.
The gin takes its name from the band's platinum
sickness.
Platinum single, Down with the
Sickness.
Yes, it's from their debut album, The
Sickness.
Yes, Disturbed's latest single was a cover of the lead singer of the band The Police.
Sting.
1993 top 20 hit, If I Ever Lose My Faith in You.
Synchronicity with another album.
Who was their drummer?
Stuart Copeland.
Yes.
I was about to hit the wrong button.
And the guitar player was Andy
Summers.
Thank you. I'm just trying to think of all that things I can throw at him.
Spanx. You can buy them at CVS. In the sartorial section.
A David Bowie tribute concert is set to stream on January 8th, the fifth anniversary of his death, and it's headed up by his Spiders from Mars keyboardist Mike Garson. Mike Garson's Bowie Celebration Just for One Day will feature contributions from a bunch of people. Def Leppard's Joe Elliott, Trent Reznor, Billy Corgan, Perry Farrell, Bush's Gavin Rossdale, Ian Astbury of The Cult, Lizzie Hale, Macy Gray, Rolling Stone sideman Brendan Fowler, Living Colors' Corey Glover, by the way, will be a part of that. Real quick thing. I want to mention last weekend, Living Color was in town, and they were tweeting out about the Camp Out for Hunger.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was very nice of them to do that. Yep.
That was a great entry. When we talked to...
Will Calhoun?
Yeah.
Well, is that
a... No. It was Vernon Reed.
Vernon Reed. Sorry.
Yeah.
We talked to Andy Summers.
Him too. So Mike Garson, who performed over 1,000 shows with Bowie, as well as his first and last U.S. appearances, said in a statement, "What we're planning is an amazing show with the most talented musicians from every period of David's career, as well as phenomenal artists from many different genres. We'll hear different interpretations of David's songs, some with totally new arrangements that have never been heard before. Stay tuned for more exciting announcements to come." Tickets are on sale now at rollinglivestudios.com/Bowie, by the way.
If you get an opportunity, watch on YouTube the video for Dancing in the Streets with no music.
Yes.
It's great.
It's hilarious.
Yes.
You'll love it.
Now, what they've after the fact added in all that stuff, but it's just tremendously funny.
The Elvis one is still my favorite, but yeah, they're great.
You're just hearing tons of squeaks, and it looks like someone having a seizure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, and then the last story I have for you, former Guns N' Roses guitarist Gilby Clark has tapped Motley Crue bassist Nikki Sixx and Jane's Addiction drummer Stephen Perkins for his latest single. It's called Tightwad.
So Nikki Sixx and Stephen are on this?
That's correct, yes. And Clark spoke about the track, explaining, "Lyrically, I was inspired by deceit, treachery, and the creative extremes people will go through to get ahead.
Yeah.
I try to get my message through with humor, but it often hits too close to home. Maybe we should all take a closer look at ourselves and make improvements," he said. Gilby's latest solo album, titled The Gospel Truth, is set for release later on this year. And that's what I have for you.
Awesome.
That is music news. I have one last $25 gift card to give away for the Irish Horn in Richboro, PA.
The food smells awesome. I haven't gotten in there to get it yet.
They brought, that's a horn. Yeah. They have crab beignets, mini St. Patrick's burgers, cheesesteak egg rolls, shepherd's pie, Irish flag salad, and bacon-wrapped pickles.
Whoa!
Color me intrigued.
Sick.
Yes. Caller 15, we're going to set you up with a $25 gift card, and it's part of the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday Night Home Gate kickoff. You can visit WMMR.com/Bud Light to enter to win a football home gate prize pack delivered safely by a member of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Irish Horn is one of the great restaurants partnered with Bud Light and this event. And the Irish Horn has spacious and safe indoor and outdoor dining. The Horn is the place to be for Thursday night football. So 15th caller, you're taken care of. We're going to break, come back in a second, wrap it up. Letter of the day, word of the week prize, see what Pierre's got going on. We'll be back in a moment.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger, benefiting Phil Abundance.
It's the week before Thanksgiving. Starting Monday, November 16th, the gang will be camping out for an entire week at Xfinity Live in the Wells Fargo Center complex.
The dates aren't the only thing different about this year. The show will still go on inside the Bimbo Bakeries USA broadcast tent, but we can't have a studio audience.
We're emphasizing cash donations this year, both online at WMMR.com and at your local
Acme Market at the checkout register.
Non-perishable food donations can be accepted on site via our trunk-to-truck drive-through drop-off, fueled by Pepsi.
Camp Out is not possible without the generosity of you and our partners.
Comcast Spectacor and the Philadelphia Flyers, Whitehorse RV Center, Cinch Propane Home Delivery, TRG Mid-Atlantic, Xfinity from Comcast, and Mayfair Fence.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger from 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
We should thank everybody for being a part of the program. I'd like to thank the town of Pudquief for being part of today's show as well. But most importantly, thank you to Stacy Keach for being on. Very nice guy, legendary actor, promoting Sammy No Lie, and other stories by Alexander Sipkin, translated by Paul Lazarus. And those are available. And there's a lot of other people that are reading these stories. I assume it's like an audiobook of sorts. And you can get it at Sipkin's Store. Oh, I'm sorry, your mic's not.
Not a problem. Sorry about that. I was too busy ordering Sipkin Blipkin.
SipkinStories.com, which Sipkin is spelled T-S-Y-P-K-I-N.
It actually seems interesting. So, yeah. You know, listen, if you're looking for something a little bit more eclectic, check it out.
And also, thank you very much to our friends at the Irish Horn. From Richboro, PA, for being by this morning and stopping off some fantastic food. They deliver everything you'll need, by the way, to kick off your at-home football weekend in style. If you're the winner of the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday night home gate kickoff, set of custom WMMR Bud Light Platinum Seltzer pint glasses and a gift card to a local restaurant like the Irish Horn. And if you want to try to win, visit WMMR.com/Bud Light and you can enter. And maybe a member of the President Steve Show will safely deliver the Homegate prize pack to your residence.
I'm doing tomorrow's. I think, Casey, you did last week's, and Marissa's done a few as well. They're really fun. It's a great prize. I'm really glad we're doing this fall because we're trying to figure out cool ways to deliver cool prizes like this one. And so I'll be delivering mine to Quakertown tomorrow night. So cool. It's really fun.
And by the way, that seltzer is 8%.
What?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's got a bit of a...
Why did I think it was less?
That's got a kick to it. I haven't tried seltzers in general, so I don't know what their standard
wee doggy
alcohol level is. But 8%, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I think that's all the thank yous. Pierre Robert, thank you.
Oh, thank you. I'll be happy to deliver if you need another delivery boy.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not an official member of your show, but
yes, you are.
I'm an honorary member.
Me?
Maybe
you're our Pete Best.
God bless.
They had to kick you out, but you're still. You know.
I'm your Pete Best. That's the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me. I am almost moved to tears.
Oh man, wow. How you doing today, man?
Fine,
cool.
It's a strange day, but it's a strange year.
Yeah.
So life is good.
Yes. As long as you're standing upright and able to move along, and
that's it.
Sing your song. Whatever other crappy axioms there are.
I think it's time to break into a song. This in the musical would be, it's been a strange year, and then da-da-da-da-da-da, strange year, strange year, it's been a strange year.
That's right.
That kind of thing.
Good, we just got some more audio.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, we haven't had that in a while.
Oh.
I would have joined you, but you got all the parts covered.
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to do the male, female, and chorus parts.
Right.
Where they kick in and then the dancers come in and they're all strange and everyone's strange. And then the audience is kind of rotating back and forth in the theater and it's a beautiful thing.
But you have to step, you know, to the stage. It's been a strange year.
That's right. Yes. Right. The Broadway presentation.
Right.
I did it more dramatically.
And then you got to sing like Anne Margaret.
Right.
And
yep.
Strange.
That's a sound bite.
It is.
Nah.
Yeah, I just gave ourselves one. All right, you ready to do the letter?
I am.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
S as in station.
Ooh.
Right, fair enough.
And we're on one.
We're going to give away the Tom Petty, Wildflowers, and All the Rest Super Deluxe Edition on Friday. It's a 5-CD limited edition set featuring 70 tracks, 9 unreleased songs, a hardbound book, and so much more. It's available now from Warner Brothers, plus a $100 gift card to the Woodstock Trading Company for the finest rock and roll memorabilia, concert posters, T-shirts, psychedelic art, and more. You can visit the Woodstock Trading Company on Route 70 in Cherry Hill or Woodstock Trade. C-O Christmas.com. Probably get some great Christmas gifts right there. It's not too early to start on
that. Yeah, good idea.
So what's up on your program?
Well, I thank you for asking. We'll have workforce blocks of Yes and Metallica and Neil Young, plus the vinyl cut today.
All right, we shall enjoy. I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought today by Hers, Philly's favorite chip since 1946. Also brought to you by Dunkin', the official coffee of the President Steve Show, and by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors. Tomorrow on our show, one of our favorites, Adam Ferrara.
Oh.
Is he talking comedy or TV? Or
comedy. You
know, is he coming to town?
He's coming to town.
Right, excellent. So we'll, thank you, sir. We'll talk to him tomorrow and get all that information, and we'll have a good time. I guarantee you that. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Hey, mother shoobies. It's time to give us our cities down the shore back. You've had enough time there.
Next message.
Well, I think you guys introduced something new to the show, Kathy's squirrel activities. Love you guys.
Next message.
Hey, asshole, getting on to the blue room. Are you kidding me? You go from the entrance lane to the far left lane in one fell swoop. No turn signal, nothing. And then you want to give me because I put my high beams on you? I was going 80, kid. You were going 50. You, dude.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.